It is 9 o'clock on Monday, the 8th, 2021. I'm Chairman Victoria Bowman of the State Board of Massage Therapy. Pursuant to Arizona Revised Statute ARS 38-431.02, notice is hereby given to the members of the Arizona State Board of Massage Therapy, known as Board, general public, that the board will hold a meeting open to the public on Monday, May 28, 2021, at 9 a.m. The meeting will be held digitally. The meeting is open to the public. However, during the course of the meeting, the board, by majority vote of a quorum of the members, may, when necessary, hold an executive session pursuant to ARS 30-431.03A3, as indicated on the board. The executive session is open to the public. The chair of the Arizona State Board of Massage reserves the right to change the order of items published on the agenda, except for public hearings set for a specific time. During the board meeting and upon a vote of the majority of quorum, the board may go into executive session to obtain legal advice from the board's attorney pursuant to Arizona Revised Statute 38-431.03 A3 on any items listed on agenda. All meeting attendees whose presence is not required in executive session may remain in the board meeting room when the board withdraws to chambers for an executive session. Any and all legal action by board members will take place in open session. In accordance with the open meeting law, the board has a civility policy which prohibits any type of disorderly conduct disrupts the board from carrying out its business. Individuals found violating this policy will be asked to modify their behavior and act civilly. And if disorderly conduct continues, the person may be removed from the meeting. Ms. Cisneros, the board has been called to order. Would you please take a roll call vote of those board members in attendance?
Absolutely. Before I do, I just want to ask the parties that are on the phone right now if you don't mind muting yourself unless you are being addressed by the board. So that will help with eliminating some of the feedback that we're getting. Roll call for the meeting today, Madam Chair.
Present.
Vice Chair Clark.
Yes, I'm here.
Mr. McLean.
Present.
And Mr. Ortega.
Present.
We have a full board. Thank you.
I'm getting challenges, so I'm going to take a minute and call in.
Okay,
Okay, Tony,
Tony, are we getting good?
Being good. I'm
I'm
getting
getting
feedback.
feedback. Okay, how's that?
I can hear you
Mr.
good.
Okay, thank you. So we do have a quorum. I would like to take a moment and acknowledge staff, Catherine Rich, Tony Wilcox, Andrew White. Thank you all for all that you do. Tom Augerton, our executive director, thank you. And Seamus Monahan, our attorney from the AG's office, thank you so much for being in attendance and for doing all that you do to help this board run smoothly. Okay. Call to the public. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.01H, the board may make an open call to the public during a public meeting subject to reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions to allow individuals to address the public body on any issue within the jurisdiction of the public body. However, members of the board are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. The board, however, may ask staff to review a matter or may ask that a matter be put on a future agenda. Do we have a call to public? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to declaration of conflict of interest. So I'm going to ask the board members, having reviewed the packet, is there any conflict of interest that you have? If so, please let it be known now. Thank you. Review, discussion, and possible action on board meeting minutes. Do we have any discussion and a motion for approval of the board meeting minutes for May 10th, 2021?
I move that we accept the minutes from that last date for May 10th, 2021.
Thank you, Mr. McLean. Is there a second?
Board Chair, believe that last meeting was June 10th, not May 10th.
Oh, very good. Thank you. So let it stand corrected. Mr. McLean, would you like to change your motion to June 10th?
Yes, Madam Chair. So I will move that we accept the massage board open minutes from June 10th, 2021.
Emily Clark.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Is somebody muted? Anybody opposed? The motion passes. Now we have a briefing by the Federation of State Massage Therapy Boards. I'm going to turn that over to Mr. Augerton to introduce our guests and let them take the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This morning we have a special briefing on the issue of hybrid education. Kevin Sneeden will be the primary presenter and he will introduce his guests. And this is a follow-up to a national video conference which the Federation had some weeks back and made available to boards throughout the state. When we became aware of the issue and activity here in Arizona related to the issue, we made a formal request for a briefing this morning to the board from the Federation. And Kevin, if I can ask you to introduce yourself and your other guests this morning.
Thank you, Tom. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for this opportunity. I'm Kevin Sneeden. I'm the Deputy Executive Director of Programs and Services here for FSMTB. And joining me today is Mylynn Petrine. She's our Director of Legal and Regulatory Affairs. And we can do a screen share. We do have a few slides that we can present to the board this morning. Is that title slide up? Is everyone able to see that okay?
Kevin, we don't have your presentation yet on the screen. We have you.
Well, let me fix that. My apologies. Technology at its finest and worst. And what about now?
We have you, but we do not have what you're attempting to present.
Okay. I apologize. In the sake of time and with respect to your time, Tom, what I can do is I can send the slides to you, but ultimately the information I think is the most important and what we want to make sure that we get to the board today. I'm going to start things off and give you a brief overview, and then Mylynn will talk to you in more detail about some of the concerns related to this type of program. So in March of this year, FSMTB was contacted by a state regulatory board with inquiries about a newer hybrid massage therapy training program. And in short fashion, we began to also hear from other regulators, departments of higher education, licensed massage therapists, school owners, and even massage establishments or massage businesses. We were sent an ad that was a social media ad from Facebook, and it noted in part that an individual could become a licensed massage therapist, resulting in employment at the spa, that job training would be done through a state-approved program that would combine online instruction with hands-on training at the massage establishment, at the spa. And then ultimately an individual could be licensed in as little as 6 months by completing this program. As we began to do our research and look into it, I'm going to give you two different examples today of what we found. In one model, there is a business entity that partners with massage establishments, that partners with spas and state-approved massage therapy training programs in the delivery of this hybrid model. In the first example, the business entity works with the spa owners, and they market the territory for possible candidates or students. The students would then interview with the spa, and if accepted by the spa, they would then enroll into the training program and sign an employment agreement to work for the spa in exchange for scholarship or tuition reimbursement, as well as employment, an actual job. So the student takes this hybrid program online with a hands-on training component that is conducted in the spa at the massage establishment. The business entity that we mentioned trains and pays the spa's senior staff to provide the oversight or instruction for the externship. And then once the student finishes the program and becomes licensed, they begin a one-year minimum commitment to the massage therapy establishment, to the spa. This particular example has been marketed as an apprenticeship program, and it's laid out for a phase one, which is 6 months in length. It includes the online massage therapy training as well as the hands-on externship. And then phase two is defined as on-the-job training, and that would be consisting of encompassing 1,000 service hours and would cover the first year of employment of that previous student. So 6 months of structured training, they get their license, and then they would continue phase two for 1 year of employment with on-the-job training. Some additional details about this particular model. The business entity facilitates the employment contract at the beginning of the program and is contingent upon the student obtaining a license. The business entity trains and pays all the instructors for the hands-on training in the spa. It, as I previously mentioned, it is structured as a national approved apprenticeship program, giving access to state and local funding. I think it's important to note there that currently there are only 4 states in the U.S. that allow for training and education in an apprenticeship model. And that would be Hawaii, Missouri, Utah, and Washington State. There's a suggested contribution by the spa business for the students to offset the tuition, recommended or suggested contribution between $1,000 and $2,500. It is being marketed as a plug-in solution, the ability to become a school without the time, expense, compliance, or extra staffing to do so. And the business entity would also provide all regulatory approvals and licenses for the program. Now, that being said, Tom alluded to 2 presentations that we've done for member boards. We've done 2 different virtual events. And some of the information provided to FSMTB reflects that there are currently 20 approved states, all of which, or most of which, also have students affiliated with programs in those states. And through our conversations with our member boards, the states that have followed up with us have confirmed that they either have not approved the program and or were not even aware that the program was active in their state. The next example I have for you is a brick and mortar school that has added a very similar model, this hybrid online program that includes hands-on instruction at a massage establishment. This program is 600 hours in length. 421 hours are online curriculum. 4 hours are video conference with instructors. 45 hours are student-required massages. 30 hours of instructor-led training and a 100-hour externship. It was also noted in their literature that the externship would be conducted in training sessions at massage establishments located within 50 miles of the student's home address. Needless to say, this brought some red flags up from our regulators because it would take an extensive network of massage therapy establishments, businesses, spas, to be able to conduct training that close to an individual's home. That's the overview of this hybrid model that we're talking about. While I'm giving you information and two examples, please know that they're not the only ones out there. There are other entities that are looking to do similar training programs featuring online education with an externship or remote hands-on portion being conducted at a massage therapy business. And at this time, I'm going to hand things over to Mylin.
Hi. Well, thank you guys for having us today. My role is a new one at the FSMTB. I used to be an attorney in private practice, and now I am the Director of Legal and Regulatory Affairs. When this issue was brought to FSMTB's attention, I think many states are dealing with the potential regulatory gaps. It's primed for consumer protection. So this is right in the regulatory wheelhouse. You've got consumer protection issues with respect to the spa clients at the establishment. You've got consumer protection issues with respect to the potential students. Are they getting full disclosure of all the requirements and potential pitfalls of these programs? And then you have the consumer protection issues with respect to licensed massage therapists and the educators that maybe just because you're a licensed massage therapist may not mean you're qualified to conduct hands-on training, especially off-site at an establishment and not a school. So some of the things that we talked about internally were, you know, is the spa client told that the person conducting the massage is a student? Does your state require student work permits to conduct massages on the public? What happens when there is an injury or a claim or a complaint against a student massage therapist in one of these apprenticeship programs? A lot of the issues, in my opinion, also deal with protecting the student and the potential pitfalls. A lot of states recently are passing laws banning or severely restricting non-compete and employment agreements. And I suspect, although I haven't seen the employment agreement in these cases, that there are likely non-competition clauses to prevent the student from taking advantage of the tuition reimbursement and then bolting to another employer. Is the student made aware of the education requirement for licensure in that state? They may or may not be, particularly when you're doing online education and the person in these border cities might be in one state and not be aware of the regulatory requirements or licensure requirements in their state. Does the student understand fully how they will be supervised and trained? These are all issues that a student entering may not be completely aware of, and especially if they're doing all of their education online, not in a classroom setting where they can talk to their fellow students. With respect to the educators and licensed massage therapists who are conducting the externship or apprenticeship, do they have the requisite training to be a supervisor or an instructional lead? What is the licensed massage therapist liability? Should a student have a problem or cause an injury, or the spa client make a claim against the student? These are all issues that there might be regulatory gaps. Now, I haven't done an analysis of the Practice Act in Arizona, but so I can't speak to what your regulatory requirements allow and don't allow. But that's one of the things that you should do is the first consult your board counsel. In general, the regulatory gaps exist because massage therapy schools may or may not have oversight by the massage board. They might have oversight by the state board of higher education or the like agency in your state, but that agency may not be intimately familiar with what is required with a massage education program and what qualifies for licensure. In addition, online or distance only programs may not also be within the purview of your regulatory board, or your education requirements may not allow for a fully remote distance education in massage therapy. So these are all the different
We may have lost you there, Mylene. So as far as the concerns that have been brought to FSMTB's attention from regulators, that does, oh, can you hear me now, Mylene? No.
Can you hear me?
We can now, yes, ma'am.
Okay. So anyway, the one gap that seems to exist that's more national is these larger public universities that aren't, don't require approval by your state higher ed board or your state massage board. However, there are laws on the books that can address some of the concerns, perhaps, of these programs. All those larger public colleges and universities that accept federal funds for student loans and student financial aid are required to be accredited. Those accrediting regulations are codified in the Code of Federal Regulations, and some of those were just amended fairly recently, and there's a regulation effective last July that requires education program is approved by the state in which they operate or in which any student resides. So if there's an online program and they have students from five different states, they have to disclose to the students that that program is approved to operate in those five states. In addition, if the education program leads to licensure or certification, they have to disclose to the students whether that their program is approved by the licensing agency in that state. So if there's a distance education program by a national college or university that isn't making those disclosures, their accreditation can be at risk. The slides that we tried to send you contain the citation, but it's, and I'll say it slowly, but I think we can send it to you afterward. It's 34 CFR section 668.50. So those are the requirements for disclosures to students that if you don't comply with your accreditation is at risk, and if your accreditation is lost, you can't take federal money. So for these big public institutions and large universities, that's a big deal. The issue now is what can you do? The first thing I suggest is to consult with your board counsel as to what your statutes and regulations, both in the massage board arena, as well as perhaps the higher ed agency within your state, what they require and what they allow. educate and collaborate with other regulatory agencies, both within your state and outside your state. Other boards are dealing with this very issue and they might provide guidance. They might have different statutes, but some might have similar statutes and have been taken creative ways to address the gaps. Also, collaborate with your Attorney General's office and or your Department of Consumer Affairs. I mean, there's a potential education opportunity here to make sure students are fully aware and spa clients are aware of what the risks and benefits are of these programs. And again, communicate with other state massage boards and your higher ed regulatory boards. And communicate with the FSMTB as to what you're doing and how, you know, how we can help. Are there any questions? I mean, FSMTB doesn't want to take a position whether these programs are good or bad. We're just trying to educate you with respect to the gaps that might exist and, you know, collaborate with your agencies to facilitate, you know, these types of programs that are addressing a shortage of massage therapists in the profession. So you don't want to necessarily ban or prohibit them, but there is probably a way and there are mechanisms to allow these types of programs to exist. In a similar profession, there are these same types of hybrid models that exist in the veterinary technician world, because vet tech schools are often in community colleges and small programs, and they don't have the capacity to provide a veterinary clinic at their place. And so they have arrangements with the veterinary board to provide the on-hand or the hands-on training to those technicians, those students. So there are ways to facilitate this type of a hybrid model of education. We just need to make sure that the regulatory world catches up with the movement with technology forward.
Kevin, just to clarify, the way we posted this on our agenda this morning is strictly just a briefing by the Federation, and at a subsequent meeting after the legal counsel's had a chance to review and provide a report to the board, we would then maybe ask you back to respond to specific questions.
We welcome the opportunity, Tom. Thank you. And if there's no additional questions from the board, Mylin's also going to give a brief legislative update to cover what we see going on throughout the profession in the country.
Yeah, so in the last month of this new role, as well as my prior experience as a private attorney, I can report that there are generally, I think, four major trends in professional regulation as well as massage therapy regulation. The first is many states are now trying to make permanent many of the provisions that were waived or exempted during the pandemic. So things such as virtual meetings, virtual investigations, virtual hearings, doesn't necessarily apply to massage in every state, but telehealth. There's a lot of legislation out there taking certain of those emergency provisions and making them permanent. With respect to massage therapy in this regard, there's been a large push toward distance education and online education and explicitly making or allowing for a certain percentage of the education requirement, certain number of hours, but also dictating which specific courses can be done online. And so the either the statutes being amended or regulations are being promulgated with respect to, you know, 120 of the 500 hours can be done remotely or online, but only in these specific courses. So there are a bunch of states taking that approach. There's also been an uptick in massage establishment licensing. Some of it's at the state level, some of it's at the municipal level. But there's been five or six states really trying to tackle that issue as well. And then just recently, I've seen kind of an uptick in Asian bodywork exemptions and waivers.
Madam Chair, I'm so sorry for interrupting you, ma'am. I just wanted to confirm with counsel that this topic is covered under how we have this agendized for today's meeting.
Thank you, Andrea. Give me one second. As long as the updates have to do with hybrid massage education or certification by business, then yeah, we can have a briefing on it. However, if it's outside of that, other legal issues, then it would not be agendized appropriately.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you.
And that was the end of my comments. So.
Kevin, anything else to wrap up this portion of the discussion today?
No, sir. Apologies for technological issues and being stuck with looking at myself. But we do. We appreciate your time and all the work that you do there on behalf of the citizens of Arizona and the profession at large. We're here as a resource and happy to be of service in any capacity that we can.
On behalf of the board and the chair, I certainly want to thank you, Kevin and Eileen, also for your time this morning. The board will be getting back to you once it's had a chance to speak with the Assistant Attorney General on this. And the board may choose at the end of today's agenda where they request staff to put this back on for the next meeting and have more roundtable discussion with the Federation.
Great. Thank you. Bye, guys.
Thanks, Madam Chair. And Madam Chair, we can't hear you, and I don't think you're muted.
Yeah, it looks like her phone line is muted.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Right, got it. Right. So thank you. I know our speakers have dropped off, but thank you again for that. Technology moving forward, we've done things differently in the last 2 years, and so I think our concerns as a board is that we are working within our statutes and rules for what we want to protect the public in this industry. So thank you so much for that. Let's move on to item 7 for board review, discussion, and possible action. Upon a vote of the majority of a quorum, the board may go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2 to discuss or consider records exempt by law from public inspection, including the receipt and discussion of information or testimony that is specifically required to be maintained as confidential by state or federal law. Let's start with formal hearing A1. 20-100 G. Lang Liu. Mr. Monahan, may we proceed with this?
There's Mary. Hello, Mary. There are some preliminary matters before we start. Mary, is it okay if I go ahead with those?
Yes. Good morning, board members. This is Mary Williams. I am going to be the independent advisor today, and I also have with me another Assistant Attorney General, Monique Cody. And Monique is has come back to the Attorney General's office, and she is going to serve as the independent advisor moving forward. So I wanted to bring her and introduce her today.
Thank you. Welcome.
Okay. So I will just begin then, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is Seamus Monahan from the Assistant Attorney General's office representing the state in this matter today. The preliminary issues are that we are in receipt of an email from June 25th, 2021, which would have been last Friday, in which the respondent, Jing Lan Liu, requested an interpreter and also stated that Mandarin was her primary language, and she does not fully understand English, and the email had to be written by a translator. On the application and renewal application, Ms. Liu indicated that English was her first language, and the email does address it to say that she doesn't know why it would be there, but the state's position is that we have a falsified application, and we did not have time to have our interpreter here. which I think the board would be more comfortable with its own contracted interpreter. And the state would ask that this matter be continued and the board amend the complaint to add a violation of falsifying a renewal or application for licensure, as well as a previous email from the day before, from May 28th of 2021, indicated that Ms. Liu had not updated her address of record with the board for quite some time. So we would also like the complaint to reflect in another allegation of not updating the board timely with respect to the address.
Thank you. Do we have a motion as such? So on board chair,
I was on mute. Sorry.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to exactly what Mr. Monahan stated, that we revise, and be able to, I'm getting a little confused here, be able to continue this next meeting and also add those additional things that Mr. Monahan was mentioning with the address change and the falsifying of the license renewal.
Is there a second?
John Ortega, I second.
Thank you. Ms. Cisneros, would you please read back the motion and take a roll call vote?
Absolutely, Madam Chair. Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the board, before I do so, I wanted to get clarification from Ms. Williams. Do we need the actual statutory reference for those violations, or can the motion just say that the complaint and notice of hearing will be amended to add the allegations of falsifying a renewal application for licensure and failure to update their contact information with the board?
Yes, that would be sufficient.
Okay. Thank you very much. The motion at this time is for the board to continue this matter and to amend the complaint and notice of hearing to add the allegations of falsifying an application for licensure, as well as failure to update contact information with the board. Roll call vote, Mr. Ortega.
Yes.
Mr. McClain?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
The motion passes unanimous. Thank you.
Okay. So to Ms. Liu, and if you have an attorney or someone present, thank you so much for attending today. You will be contacted, or you may contact board staff for information on this case. Thank you for attending today. Okay, so let's move on to case 21-112, Anthony Cavender.
And Madam Chair, just for your information, this will be a motion to deem, so you will want your motion to deem script.
Perfect. Okay, thank you very much. Okay. Today is Monday, June 28th, 2021. It is now 9:39 a.m. The State Board of Massage Therapy is dealing with case 21-112, Anthony Cavender. This is scheduled to be heard by the Arizona State Board of Massage Therapy. Will all the parties please identify themselves? Is the respondent on the call?
The respondent will not be here.
Okay. The state has filed a motion for the board to deem the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing as admitted. If granted, the board will treat all allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing as true and move directly to a determination of what discipline is appropriate in light of the violations. The state will present a brief statement to the board about its request, and then the respondent can address the board. Please address your remarks to the issue on whether you received the complaint and notice of hearing and why you did not timely file an answer as required by the board statutes and rules. Mr. Monahan, would you like to make a presentation?
I absolutely would. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is Seamus Monahan, Assistant Attorney General, representing the state today in the matter of Anthony Michael Cavender, case number 21-112. This matter is straightforward. This came before the board quite a while ago. However, Mr. Cavender was in jail and it involved a sexual assault. Once he was out of jail, we were able to notice him. He did not respond. Board staff was able to reach out and speak to his family, and his family indicated that he would not be participating and wanted to move on. So the board has authority to deem the allegations admitted in a complaint if the holder fails to respond within 30 days pursuant to ARS 3254N. On April 28, 2021, the board staff properly noticed the respondent by sending the notice of hearing and complaint by U.S. certified mail and email to his address of record on file with the board. Mr. Cavender's answer to the complaint was due on or before May 31, 2021. Mr. Cavender never submitted an answer to the board. The state respectfully asked this board to grant the state's motion to deem the allegations admitted in the complaint and vacate the formal hearing. Further, the state requests that the board adopt findings of fact and conclusions of law as stated in the complaint and notice of hearing and impose discipline as the board deems just and proper to address this conduct. So just to clarify, I'm asking the board to grant my motion to deem, vacate the formal hearing, adopt findings of fact, adopt conclusions of law, and impose discipline, which the state leaves it up to the board's discretion. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have a motion? Oh, well, excuse me, there is no respondent. So at this time, the board will deliberate and rule on the state's motion. We can begin with general discussion or move to motions. So do we have a motion to vacate this case, adopt the findings of facts and the conclusions of law, and then impose discipline, which appears to be revocation of license?
Excuse me, Madam Chairwoman?
Yes.
Members of the board? I'm hearing an echo. I would recommend that the first motion would be to deem the allegations, and then you can move forward with the motion to vacate and then the motion regarding the findings of fact and the conclusions of law.
Thank you. Appreciate that. So do we have...
So to clarify, the first motion would be, you would move to grant the state's motion to vacate the hearing and to grant or deny the motion to deem after you've discussed it.
Do those need, Ms. Cody, do those need to be separate motions?
You're on mute, Ms. Cody.
Ms. Cody, you need to unmute yourself, please.
Yes, sir, I'm unmuted.
Okay, so this is Chair Bowman. My question is, do those need to be separate motions? In other words, to grant, to vacate the hearing and then one to deem the allegations, or can it be one motion?
You could combine those if you would like. Can you turn your sound off?
Okay. So, Chair Bowman, we're getting feedback. I move that in the case of 21-112 Anthony Cavender, that we grant to vacate this hearing and to deem the allegations as given. Is there a second?
Emily Clark, second.
Okay, all in favor. Let's just do a vocal. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Any nays? That motion passes. I will now move to adopt the finding of facts and conclusions of law as stated in our packet today. Is there a second?
Emily Clark, second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I'm so sorry for interrupting. I just wanted to clarify for the motion that the findings of fact and conclusions of law are as stated in the complaint and notice of hearing.
Yes, that okay. was what I meant. Okay, thank you. So the motion passes. So now we need to determine the discipline that we must impose or the discipline that we do impose. Considering what occurred, I see no other option but revocation of license. Is there other discussion, please?
I totally agree, Chairwoman.
Excuse me, Madam Chairperson, members of the board. Sorry to interrupt again. There was a motion made to grant the state's motion to deem the allegations, but I don't believe a vote was taken unless I missed that.
Yeah, we didn't have a roll call vote. We did have a vote and it passed unanimous 4-0. Is that correct, Ms. Cisneros?
Absolutely. Ms. Cody, thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Cody, there were voice votes for the two motions that have already came through.
All right. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt. I just want to make sure, particularly since the respondent is not present. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Right. No, thank you. We want to do this correctly. And so I appreciate interruptions to keep us on track and keep us doing it correctly. Okay. So we need a motion to for revocation of the license in case 21-112.
Yes, Madam Chairman, Nick McLean, public member. I would move that we move forward with revocation in case 21-112 for Anthony Cavender.
Is there a second?
John Ortega, I second.
Thank you. Ms. Cisneros, I would like a roll call vote in this case.
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. This is for the motion to revoke the license. Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
The motion passes unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So for those in attendance today concerning this case, thank you very much for attending. And board staff, if you would do what's necessary to complete this, I would appreciate it. Thank you. Okay.
Mary, your mic is live, just so you know.
Yes, I know, Andrea. Thank you.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Well, we're getting some feedback. So we're moving on to case 21-113, Fabian Garcia. Is Mr. Garcia here today? If so, please unmute yourself and make yourself available.
Hello. Good morning. Am I heard?
Yes. Mr. Garcia?
Yes, I'm present.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Is DS on the phone today?
Yes, I'm present.
Thank you. Give me a moment here. Investigative. Oh, here. Okay. There we go. This is Monday, June 28th, 2021. It is 9:50 a.m., the State Board of Massage Therapy meeting. The matter dealing with case 21-113 Sabian Garcia is scheduled to be heard by the Arizona Board of Massage Therapy. The subject of this hearing is set forth in the complaint and notice of hearing. This is a formal administrative hearing to determine if there has been violation of the board's statutes and rules and whether disciplinary action is warranted. Board members present for the hearing, we're going to do a roll call. Mr. Ortega?
Here.
Mr. McLean?
Here. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Ms. Clark, Chair, Vice Chair Clark?
Here.
And Chair Bowman, present. Let the record show that the board members have been furnished with copies of the complaint and notice of hearing, the respondent's answer, and all pleadings of record. Will the parties please identify themselves? Actually, we have already identified them. Mr. Garcia, are you represented by an attorney?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you. Do you understand that you have the right to be represented by an attorney?
Yes, I understand.
Okay. Yeah. The law does not provide for an appointment of counsel. If you want an attorney, it is your responsibility to secure and pay for one. Do you understand that by proceeding without representation of legal counsel, you are waiving your right to such representation at this hearing?
Yes.
And you may seek legal counsel in any subsequent proceedings, such as an appeal. Do you understand that this hearing is your opportunity to present testimony and evidence on your behalf?
I spoke to a lawyer who told me that I wouldn't quite need one just yet.
Okay, so thank you. Do you understand that you have an opportunity to present your testimony and evidence on your behalf today?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Do you understand that should you appeal the board's decision, the records you make at this hearing today will be evidence considered by a court in determining whether the board's decision was proper?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. White, would you review the file to determine if the respondent was properly served?
Madam Chair, this is Mary.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Since Mr. Garcia is present and participating, you don't need to go through that.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is the state ready to proceed?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan for the state. We are ready to proceed.
Okay. We'll swear everybody in just a moment. A hearing of this nature differs from a court proceeding. The technical rules of evidence do not apply. Reliable hearsay evidence is admissible. The board will entertain objections concerning irrelevant, repetitious, or otherwise inadmissible evidence. However, the board is the sole judge of the weight given to the evidence received. In a disciplinary proceeding, the state bears the burden of proof and shall go first and present the case. Then the respondent shall present their case. After it hears all the evidence and the arguments of the parties, the board will deliberate and decide whether to dismiss the case or take appropriate disciplinary action. So, Ms. Cisneros, will you swear in all the witnesses, including the respondent, and each one of you, please give your name before being sworn in. So, Mr. Garcia, please give your name.
David Garcia.
Thank you. DS, you do not need to give your name. Just give your initials, please.
DS.
Thank you. Mr. White, please identify yourself.
Investigator Andrew White.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that needs to be sworn in at this time? Okay. Ms. Cisneros, would you swear the witnesses in, please?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Could the parties please raise your right hand?
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I do.
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before hearing testimony from witnesses, are there any preliminary matters the board should consider?
The state has no preliminary matters to consider, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Does the state wish to make an opening statement?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, Seamus Monahan, Assistant Attorney General representing the state. I am prepared to move forward. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. This case is in front of you today because the respondent committed actionable violations of the board's rules and statutes during his massage therapy session with the complainant, DS. With the help of the board's investigator, as well as complainant DS, the state's evidence will show today that the respondent committed violations of board statute when he inappropriately touched the vagina of the complainant and attempted to stimulate her with what would be considered unacceptable massage therapy services. The state will also show that after the matter, the complainant took verifiable actions in order to effectuate some kind of help in this situation to address what had happened, whereas the respondent acted as if nothing had happened, and the comments and answers from the respondent will show that. Lastly, the state's evidence will show that while DS's statements to both the police, the board, and the employer were consistent, Mr. Garcia's statements were not consistent. At the conclusion of the evidentiary portion of this hearing, I'm going to refer you to the complaint and notice of hearing that was issued in this matter and urge you to adopt the factual allegations as your findings of fact and the alleged violations as your conclusions of law, as stated. After having done so, the state on behalf of the public will respectfully defer the board's judgment with regards to appropriate resolution of this matter. Thank you.
Thank you. Would the respondent like to make an opening statement? Mr. Garcia, do you have an opening statement?
I think I've been consistent in my responding and my details and what the story and how it happened. I don't know what more consistent I can be other than sending emails to Mr. Andrew White and verifying all communication and making sure that I'm here on time and when the next board meets.
Thank you. Would the state please call your first witness?
Yes, the state would like to call Investigator Andrew White. That's the board's investigator, excuse me.
Mr. White?
Yes.
There.
Okay.
All right. Please state your name again for the record.
My name is Andrew White.
Thank you, Andrew. What is your position with the board?
I'm an investigator for the Arizona Massage Board, and I have been since 2015.
So 6 years. As the board's investigator, what are your duties and responsibilities?
My first duty is to monitor complaints, find out the evidence of the complaints, move them to the board, have the board make a decision on them. But I have to do an investigation on them, which I interview the respondent and also interview the complainant. Then the respondent is interviewed by paperwork. The complainant is interviewed by paperwork and verbally on several occasions. At that point, I determine if the case should be moved forward to the board for a hearing.
So is it fair to say that all investigations primarily go through you?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Is Mr. Garcia licensed by this board, excuse me?
Yes, he is. His license number is 23968.
And is it currently active?
Yes, it is. It expired on 8/24/2022.
And is that a general license to practice massage therapy?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. Andrew, was the respondent noticed today regarding this matter?
Yes, he was.
Please take a moment to review what is marked as State's Proposed Exhibit 1. Do you recognize this document?
He hasn't put it up yet, but if it's one of my documents, yes, I do.
We'll wait till you find it.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to put it up, but yes, I am.
What is this document?
Is that the complaint form? I don't have, I got everything out of order, so.
Would be the complaint notice of hearing.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, complaint notice of hearing was sent out by myself after approval from you.
And are these documents a true and correct copy of the complaint notice of hearing that you sent respondent on April 29th, 2021?
That's correct.
Okay. State moves to admit Exhibit 1 into the record.
Thank you. It is admitted.
Andrew, did the board receive clinical notes from the respondent's massage therapy session with DS on 9/1/2020? I believe that you call those soap notes.
Soap notes. No soap notes were received.
Were any received from his employer?
Yes. One second. I'm all over the place. One second. No. Yes, it was just a notice from, it was a small note that wasn't specific, but it explained what he was working on, how long he was working on it, what's the time limit, and what was the next appointment supposed to be set up. That was the only soap note. It didn't get into any depth about what it was.
Okay. Well, as far as State's Exhibit 2, do you recognize this document?
Yes. It was emailed to me by Carol Klein.
And Carol Klein is who?
The manager of the spa which he worked at.
At the time that the respondent was working there?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. And is it a true and correct copy of the soap notes that you received from respondent's employer on September 17, 2020?
Yes, that's the only way she could send it by email because it was on microfiche.
State moves to admit Exhibit 2 into the record.
So admitted. Thank you.
Thank you. Staying on Exhibit 2, Andrew, looking at these notes, do you see, and I know they're hard to read, but do you see anywhere that respondent indicated the massage was abnormal or that the complainant was acting out of the ordinary?
No.
Thank you. Please take a moment to review what is marked as State's proposed Exhibit 3. Do you recognize this document?
I don't have it marked as Exhibit 3. What would be the title on that?
It would be Bates page number 11. Do you have a Bates number at the very bottom on the right hand?
What would be the title of the paperwork?
That would be the respondent's answer to the initial allegations. It'd be the okay. Questionnaire.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Yes, I have it right here.
Okay. Do you recognize this document?
Yes, that's the initial document that I sent to each respondent to get their background information, their side of the story. Then I analyze the information that he gives me compared to what the complainant says. And then from that point, I compare the answers and find out what the conflict is. And then I type it into an investigative report, or I say on my report, I say see the added information.
Okay, thank you. Is it a true and correct copy of the respondent's answer to the initial allegations you received on September 28, 2020?
Yes.
Thank you. So on Exhibit 3, turning to what would be page 6 of the investigative questionnaire.
Yes.
Did the respondent indicate at the top of the page there was anything abnormal regarding the massage in his answer? It'd be no. Letter G.
No, he stated that she seemed normal, but I kept getting weird feelings about her doing the massage. And you see, and everything was fine towards the end. The feeling was weird again. Never felt like that with any other clients.
Okay. And just to clarify, none of that information was in the SOAP notes, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. Was there any indication from respondent's employer, Mr. Klein, when you talked to him, that indicated that Mr. Garcia ever indicated to him that he felt like that was an abnormal massage?
No,
Oh, I'm sorry.
She didn't indicate anything until she received a complaint from the complainant. At that point, she also interviewed verbally with the respondent.
Okay, thank you. State moves to admit Exhibit 3 into the record.
Madam Chair, this is Mary Williams. Before you decide on that exhibit, could we just clarify and put on the record that Mr. Garcia has the exhibits from the state?
Mr. Garcia?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have that exhibit?
Or all of the exhibits?
The exhibit, the one
you
that
have all of the exhibits.
Yeah, is it the notice of public hearing with all the things? Yes, that's the most recent one.
So the state's exhibit packet was sent to Mr. Garcia?
I don't believe that it was. Was it? Did you get the entire packet?
Yes, the packet. It says notice of public hearing and all the information noted. Is that it before the Arizona Board of Massage?
Right. He's given a certified copy of the questionnaire, and I also mail a regular post office copy to him. So he should have had two of everything.
Well,
I believe so.
Okay, what I'm talking about is the exhibit packet 1 through 6 that the state has submitted.
Yes, 1 through 6.
Those have been provided to you, Mr. Garcia.
I just got one right now. I should have the other one. How does it look like? Do you know what the front page says?
There's a document called Exhibit List and Witness List.
Exhibit List and Witness List? I don't have that.
No, I don't think he does.
Parties and jurisdiction, factual allegations, allegation violation, and that's, I don't have that.
Okay, is there a way to give, to provide those to Mr. Garcia?
Yeah, I can do it right now.
Right now?
I can do it right now.
And Mr. White, you have the entire packet?
Yeah, but mine is broke down different than what Mr. Monahan is reading. One second.
Ms. Williams, do we need to have personal information blacked out on the copy that Mr. Garcia receives?
There's none on there. It's all dealing with him.
I okay. Yes, and I already redacted my exhibits.
Okay. Yeah, it's just difficult being virtual. We just want to make sure everybody has the same information. Mr. Monahan, is there a fact? Could you email Mr. Garcia the packet?
Yes.
Are you going to do it, Shane?
Yeah, I'll do it right now.
Okay. Isn't it, Ms. Williams, there's no personal information on there for the complaint then.
Okay, there shouldn't be.
No.
She just said he redacted everything.
Yeah, including my stuff, even my investigative report wouldn't even have her name on it.
Well, I don't know that it would need to be redacted.
Okay.
Ms. Williams?
Yes.
This is Chair Bowman.
Yes.
I think this might be a good time to take a 5-minute break these can be transmitted. So I have, it is now 10:14. So I'm going to ask that we resume at 10:20.
Okay. That would be perfect. You manage, Chair.
The meeting is now suspended for 6 minutes. Thank you. Thank you so much for returning. It is now 10:22 a.m. and the State Board of Massage Therapy is going to reconvene. Okay, Mr. Garcia, did you receive the packet?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Monahan, would you like to continue your questioning?
And I believe Mr. Monahan had a motion he wanted to admit Exhibit 3 is where we left off.
Okay. So, admitted.
And does Mr. Garcia have any objection to that exhibit?
This Exhibit 3, I'm seeing it right now. Yeah. No objections. I mean, I wrote that. Yeah.
Okay, so Exhibit 3 is admitted, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Is that your ruling? Is that your ruling on that? Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Monahan?
Seamus, you're muted.
Thanks, guys. Please take a moment to review what is marked as State's proposed Exhibit 4.
Yes.
Do you recognize this document?
Yes, that's the response to the complaint of notice of hearing.
Is it a true and correct copy of the respondent's answer to the complaint notice of hearing you received on May 20th, 2021?
Yes, that's the same exact copy that I duplicated and placed into my files also.
Okay, thank you. Turning to Bates page number 19, which is just going to be that answer.
Yes.
Can you please read the last paragraph starting with right after the word fantastic? It says, okay. When working on the client's upper back. Can you please read that?
Yes. When working on the client's upper back, specifically the right rhomboid and right trapezius, the client may sound of pain, relief, and satisfaction. These were the same sounds the client made while massaging her left glute, which made sense given that the fact that the tightest spots were her right upper back and her left hip and left glute area.
Thank you. Based on the statements made to the board in his two responses, do you believe that the respondent has been consistent in his story regarding the complainant's behavior?
No.
All right. State moves to admit Exhibit 4 into the record.
Mr. Garcia, do you have any objections to that being admitted?
Yes.
You do?
Yes. So what I'm going to clarify that whole satisfaction is I'm talking about pain.
Nope.
No.
What's that?
Go ahead, Mr. Monahan, if you're going to put something.
This is the time for the state to put on their case right now. Mr. Garcia will have time to rebut the state's case on his cross-examination.
Okay. Cool. So then no objections in that case.
Okay. Let it be admitted to the records.
All right. And the state is finished with Mr. White.
Mr. Garcia, would you like to cross? Wait a minute. Ms. Williams?
Yes. This would be Mr. Garcia's time to cross-examine.
To cross-examine Mr. White. Okay. So, Mr. Garcia, would you like to cross-examine Investigator White?
Yes. I don't understand where I'm not being consistent in this. I'm just being more specific in my second response. Where is my
inconsistency? Okay. Mr. Garcia, this is the time to question Mr. White. You will have a chance to present your case, but it's to cross-examine Mr. White as to what he has said.
Okay. Mr. White?
Yes.
Where do you feel that I have been inconsistent in myself?
From your initial questionnaire and the final answer that you gave, you have different facts in that area where I just testified to. You added some facts and you took away some facts in reference to the massage of the individual.
Okay. I was just trying to be more specific in my second response. That's all the questions I have for you.
Thank you.
Mr. Monahan, do you have a redirect by the state?
No, I do not, but I am ready to call my next witness.
Okay. Are there any questions from the board of Mr. White at this time? Okay. Mr. Monahan, would you like to call your next witness?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. The state calls complainant DS.
I'm here.
All right, good morning.
Good morning.
Please state your initials again for the record.
DS.
All right. And DS, what do you do for a living?
I'm a nurse.
And how long have you been a nurse?
About 4 years.
Was this your first massage?
No.
Roughly how many massages have you had before?
Probably one or two a year, so somewhere around like 10 in my adult life.
Have you ever had a massage like this one?
No.
Was this your first massage with the respondent? And please feel free to explain.
Yes.
Okay. Was anything out of the ordinary when you were getting ready and, you know, in the beginning of the massage, was there anything out of the ordinary?
No, nothing at all.
So it was a pretty normal massage, pretty normal day?
Yes.
Okay. Would you please walk us through the massage you had on September 1st, 2020, and the events that occurred that led to this complaint being filed?
Sure. As to the beginning of the massage, I honestly don't have much recall of that. The point in which I start to remember the massage in more vivid detail is when Fabian was working on my lower left leg, and he removed the drape and was working on the inside of my thigh, and then pulled my underwear down below my butt, and then he stuck his hand up in between my legs and started pressing on my vulva in like a circular manner, and then asked, "Do you want me to go deeper?" At which point I was stimulated during that, and then I just shut down. Like, my whole body was in pain, and I was like scared, and I think I just kind of went into this shock mode, and I just was like severely grotesquely polite, and I just said no. I wanted pressure on my hip. So then he went back to my hip, and then he tried again to go back, and I was just like, no, back on my hip is where I needed the pressure. And then he like pulled my underwear up, snapped it up against my butt, and then said that the massage was over. And I was totally polite to him the whole time. And I was like, thank you for the massage. I walked out of there calmly. I called my sister and I was like, what just happened to me? And I explained to her what happened. And she was like, you just got assaulted. You need to call the police. Like, that's crazy. So that's the part that I remember most vividly.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Why do you believe the respondent pulled your underwear down below your buttocks?
It may have been because I did ask him to massage something twice. And I think I read in his that I asked him to massage my inner thigh twice, but it was definitely my buttocks or like my hip. So, that may have been, that was like, you know, when I was attempting to get him. So that whole thing is kind of, I don't know why he would have done that initially. It was not something that I had ever experienced in a massage before, but I am aware that, like, I've talked with friends and they say that they do move your underwear. But in my case, it really didn't have anything to do with where he was massaging at the time.
Did you give written or oral permission for him to pull your underwear down?
No.
And massage your bare buttocks?
No.
Thank you. You mentioned that he was massaging your vulva. In your opinion, did this address any of the concerns you mentioned to him at the beginning? And did this technique provide any therapeutic relief?
No, but I did not ask him to do that. I did not talk about any part of my anterior body right there that needed to be massaged.
In your opinion, what was the purpose of the respondent massaging your vulva?
I would assume he was trying to stimulate me, especially given the fact that while Hugh had his hand on my vulva, he asked, do you want me to go deeper?
Okay, well, and thank you for that, because it leads me into my next question. What was your understanding of why he said, do you want me to go deeper?
I would assume he was alluding to manual penetration of my vagina.
And what was your response?
I said no. And I asked for him to go back to my hip, which I know that sounds so stupid, but I was just like so in shock. I didn't know what to do next.
So you had mentioned, you know, and I apologize. You don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but you did mention that he in fact did stimulate you somewhat to a certain extent. And you also indicated that you felt that he meant to do this. Do you think that, because obviously we weren't in the room, did you feel that there was any reason to use that massage therapy technique, which I would say is not a massage therapy technique, for anything other than personal benefit?
Yeah, no, I can't think of any other reason why than for personal benefit. I was stimulated when he put his hand there initially, so it was like a very, to me, it felt very clearly what was happening in that instant, and that it was a feeling that I had never felt before, where you were like sexually stimulated, and then instantly this whole wave of pain and fear like moved from my core through my whole body, and it just went numb, like absolutely numb, and I totally disassociated from everything from that point on, which was why I think I could be so polite and just like follow through the routine of that encounter, because it was, I was dissociated at that point.
Okay. And I was going to ask you why you didn't get up off the table when this conduct started, but I believe that you just answered that question. So.
You muted yourself again somehow, sir.
It's a touchy computer. Turning back, no, Diaz, if you could please turn to State's proposed Exhibit 3. It's not proposed anymore. It's already admitted. State's admitted Exhibit 3, Bates number 14.
Yes.
It is suggested, this is the answer to the complaint allegations. It is suggested by the respondent that you were making noises of pleasure and satisfaction. He also states in that same exhibit at Bates number 16 that he was getting weird feelings about you and that he had never had an experience like that with a client. Were you making sounds of pleasure and satisfaction during the massage?
Historically, when I get massages, if they're moving something that is really painful or I'm feeling release, I absolutely communicate with my masseuse in that sort of way. So it's very likely that I did make some sort of sound that may have indicated that he was doing a great job, especially on my back, which was very tight. As far as the specific incident of pressing on my vulva, I did not make any sort of sound that indicated that was appropriate.
Were you in any way attempting to sexualize the massage?
No.
Were you acting any differently than you would at any other massage?
No.
Did the respondent indicate to you in any way that he was uncomfortable with your actions during or after the massage?
Nothing at all. He even gave me a card that said he wanted to see me back in like 3 weeks or something like that.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, I'm now going to move on to the actions that you took following the massage session on September 1st, 2020. Did you take any actions to report respondent's conduct to his employer?
Yes, I called I called Mr. Carol Klein, and I told him that I wasn't quite sure what I should be telling him at that point because I didn't have legal counsel, and I had never experienced anything like this before. But I told him that I believed that I was assaulted by Fabian Garcia, but that I wasn't comfortable sharing any details without having first sought legal counsel. At which point he sent me links to a bunch of like help for victims of massage therapy. And then he asked if it was severe enough to where he needed to suspend Fabian from the work schedule. And I said, I didn't know any like what I should say to him, except that I was assaulted. So he said he was going to remove Fabian from the schedule until this was clarified. And he apologized for what had happened.
How soon after the event did you contact the respondent's employer?
It was that same evening. The exact timeline, I may have called him in the parking lot. I think I sent an email to him as soon as I got out, and then he called me back later that evening.
Now, in your discussions with the respondent's employer, had the respondent reported any of this to his employer before you called?
No, I was the first one to tell him anything.
Okay, thank you. Did you take any other action to report respondent's conduct?
Yes, I looked up online what I could do, and I saw that there was a complaint section with the massage board. So I typed up a complaint and I submitted that, and then I called, and in all of that time I had also called the police department. So by the time the police department came to where I was staying to get the report, I had already submitted my statement to the massage board. So then I just told the officer that I had a pre-written statement that I was okay with sharing with him, because I was, I was pretty done with recounting the story. So then I gave that statement to him. I read it off to him and then emailed it to him.
And I apologize if I missed this, but how soon after did you contact the massage therapy board after the incident?
It was the same day, the same afternoon.
Okay. Please take a look at what's marked as State's Proposed Exhibit 5 at Bates number 22.
Okay. I see it.
Okay. Do you recognize this document?
I do.
What are these documents?
This is the document that I submitted to the Arizona State Board in their complaint forum, and which I also read to the police man who came to take the report.
And are they a true and accurate copy of your complaint to the board?
Yes.
And are the allegations substantially similar to the report you gave to the respondent's employer?
Yes. Well, I did not tell him exactly what happened. I didn't know what was appropriate at that point. So I did not go into detail with him about what had happened.
Okay. Aside from respondent's employer and the board, did you report respondent's conduct to any other governing bodies?
No, I don't believe so.
And I apologize. I'm referring to the Phoenix Police Department.
Oh, yes, to the Phoenix Police Department. I did report to them.
And how soon after did you contact the Phoenix Police Department after the incident?
That same afternoon. I think the massage was early afternoon, and I had a police officer at my door at around 5 or 6 that evening.
So within 24 hours, you reported, just to clarify, you reported the respondent's conduct to his employer, filed a massage therapy board complaint, as well as conducted the Phoenix Police Department.
Yes.
Okay. Please take a look at what's marked as State's Proposed Exhibit 6, Bates number 24.
I see it.
Do you recognize these documents?
Yeah, this is the police report that was filled out based on the incident.
And are they a true and accurate copy of your statements to the police?
Yes.
And are the allegations substantially similar to the report you gave to the respondent's employer and the complaint you filed with the board?
Yes.
Thank you for your time. I have no more questions. The state rests.
Thank you. Mr. Garcia.
Madam Chair, excuse me, just so we don't lose track of anything. Mr. Monahan, did you want to move to admit Exhibits 5 and 6?
I did. Thank you. Okay. Yes, the state moves to admit Exhibits 5 and 6.
Mr. Garcia, do you have any objection to those being admitted?
Might be muted.
Okay. Unmute yourself, please, Mr. Garcia.
No, I don't have any objections.
Okay, thank you. So they are so admitted. Okay, so Mr. Garcia, would you like to cross-examine DS regarding her testimony?
Yes. Yes, you didn't ask me to go back to your lower back. You asked me to go back to your glute where I was working on initially. When the massage had happened, I went from the left glute to the left hamstring, and it was 5 minutes left. I was going to finish with the calf and the feet and the foot. And from the, I didn't even really start on the hamstring when you asked me.
Okay, Mr. Garcia, excuse me a minute. Mr. Garcia, yes. This is not time for you to explain what you did. It is your time to question DS as to her testimony.
Yes, ma'am. That's what I'm getting to. My question is, why did you ask me to go back to your glute?
I don't really understand the relevancy to this question. That seems like a fairly normal thing to ask a massage therapist in a massage. That was not the point of assault. The point of assault was when you were stimulating my vulva.
No,
Okay,
oh, ma'am.
Please, okay. Mr. Garcia, please
question
the witness concerning her testimony.
Okay, that's about it. Is just that I never used. You said.
Okay, so you have no further questions for the. Okay, thank you very much. Are there questions of DS from the board?
So, Board Member McLean, I have just one. I noticed on the police report that you withdrew or no longer wanted to move forward on the 1st of October. What reason did you have for pulling out of that?
Yes, I retained a lawyer, and I talked extensively with him about what the best course of action was. I'm not trying to cause any harm to anyone's life. I understand that we all make mistakes, but I definitely felt some sort of obligation to try to ensure this does not happen to someone else. And talking with the lawyer, he said that it was highly unlikely that I would be able to establish any plausible or something weightable in court that would hold. He did not think that, because I did not have any sort of actual vaginal penetration, because I did not go to an urgent care, you know, and like the swab kit and all of that, that there was no solid evidence for a case. So he recommended just continuing on in trying to get this, the licensure removed. And he also recommended that it did not make sense to pursue any sort of legal suit against Mr. Fabian, because he has no means to substantiate anything. He said it would only make sense to pursue something against the massage place itself. But Mr. Klein was great in sending me resources and addressing Fabian from the start. So there was no negligence in the massage parlor's side of things, which is why I determined at that point I would just pursue the licensure removal.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. So, Mr. Garcia, do you wish to call any witnesses? And you may call yourself as a witness. You may explain your side at this time.
Okay, definitely. Yes, I would like to call myself.
Okay, go ahead.
Regarding article Exhibition 4, I believe, which is my most recent response. Y'all have it. It's where I was going from, when I finished the right side, I moved on to the left side. I massaged, the lower back was really tight, the left lower back, and it had the left glute also very tight. It was playing together, they were playing a role. So that's where I was focused, on the hip and on the glute, and on the hip. From there, when I finished the glute, and again, there was, I was like, the sounds that I was making were good. So I thought I was going to get pressure, everything good during the glute. And I spent a good time there. I only had 5 minutes left to finish the massage, and I was just going to finish it with the leg. You know, nothing, what are you going to do in 5 minutes? So I finished, I was starting with the hamstring, and I did the outer hamstring, the middle muscle of the hamstring, and I was doing the inner muscle of the hamstring. And I went over it once, and I usually go over it 3 times. But after the first time, the client asked me, CS asked me to go back to the glute. Went back to the glute. I started doing the same thing that I was doing, because after the squat press. And she asked me if I could go back to the lower back, or left lower back. And I finished with that. I wrapped it up. I asked her how she was feeling. She said, great. She said, thank you so, so much. And I exited the room. Like, and that's when I noticed the weird vibe. And it wasn't like, I don't think it was for the massage. I think it was something personal in her own life. That's why I didn't think much of it. That's why I didn't report nothing from it. Because I've had other clients, other patients, feel good. And then after, when I come in the massage, they're like on the phone. They took a phone call and they got bad news. It's something I didn't want to ask, and I didn't think much of it. Yes, as far as the satisfaction, the word pleasure and satisfaction, that's only regarding the pain. Pain relief. That's it. Other than that, I have nothing to say other than there's my statement.
Does the state wish to cross-examine the respondent?
Madam Chair, members of the board, no, the state is, the state rests.
Okay, thank you. Are there questions from the board? And Chairman Bowman, I would like to start with a question for Mr. Garcia. When you start a massage treatment and you put the person into the room, do you say something like, please undress to your level of comfort?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And I ask people to for massage, and then I explain more.
Okay. And did you ask her if she had had massage before?
Yes, and she hadn't had a massage from a guy. She had massages, but not from a guy.
Okay. If a woman chooses to leave on her panties, does that send a piece of information to you?
Yes, ma'am. It means it's probably usually like stay away from the glutes, but that's when you ask, and I did ask. I said, can I massage the glutes over your hip, your panties, because that's your lower back, because she was telling me her lower back, her upper back. I told her, because her lower back, they play a role with the glute and the lower back.
Did you lower her panties?
No, ma'am.
Questions? Is there any other board member that would like to ask questions?
Yes, ma'am. Sir, can you explain to us why, if she's taking no action against you legally with the police department and she's not holding the establishment responsible, why is she coming after you solely for this incident?
I'm not sure. I feel like it's a huge misunderstanding, maybe. I keep thinking about it, and I maybe think the pressure that I was applying on the glute was penetrating towards her vulva, but I never directly went to her vulva.
So you're saying then it's possible that the contact could have been made, resulting in this misunderstanding?
I didn't think it was possible.
I wasn't taught to give up his life, like, I didn't, but apparently it might be possible if she felt stimulated.
So then the touching could have taken place.
The touching directly, no. Secondhand, maybe. But no, not never intentionally.
So unintentionally, it could have happened.
It could have happened unintentionally with okay. pressure through the glute. That's the only way I'm thinking about it. That's I had knuckles. Mm-hmm. She said she felt fingers, but it was my knuckles the whole time. I didn't even use my open hand.
Okay. And did you remove the sheet before working on the glutes and lower back?
Yes, I draped both legs. I draped them when I massaged them.
Okay. And as you stated previously, you did not lower or remove the panties in any particular fashion.
No, I did not remove the panties. The only time I lowered was when working on the back, just to get to the lower back better, to the gluteal cleft. And that's how I've been taught.
And whether intentionally or unintentionally, would your fingers have gone under the panties at any particular time during the massage?
Then that never happened. My fingers were never under panties.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ortega, Ms. Clark, do either of you have questions?
Yes, I have a question for Mr. Garcia. When a client has underwear on, is that not a clear sign that is a boundary that should not be breached and that it should stay draped at all times when you're doing a massage? And if you have to work on the glutes, that you would work on the glutes over top of the sheets? Does that not give a clear sign indication?
No, that does not. I've been taught to drape with underwear or without underwear. And it's just...
Well, if she had underwear on, the drape should have covered her underwear. Should it have not?
That's not how I was taught in King's College. I was taught to just drape the whole thing, and if they want to keep the underwear on, that's on them. From that level of comfort. When I ask, can I massage a glute, and they keep the underwear on, I drape it anyway. If they say they don't want to massage the glute, I keep it covered because I'm not even touching it. I'm already going through one.
Well, from all my from studies that I have had, if a client has underwear on, that means that anything that is going to be massaged regarding the glutes must still be covered because that is a boundary. And it sounds to me like you crossed that boundary and uncovered the draping to reveal the underwear. And if a person has underwear on, that is considered a boundary that should stay covered at all times.
Yeah, definitely agree with you, but I asked again to drape it, and I was given permission verbally.
Okay. That's all I have.
This is Chairman Bowman. Mr. Garcia, were you taught techniques for working on the glutes even through a sheet?
Yes. I was the same techniques I used.
Thank you. Are there any other board members that have questions? Mr. Garcia, do you have any other additional witnesses to call?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Do you have any other comment to make?
Nope, I do not.
Okay, thank you. This concludes the evidentiary portion of the administrative hearing. The board will now hear closing arguments. Mr. Monahan, would you present a closing argument?
Yes.
Absolutely. Madam Chair, members of the board, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan representing the state today. As I mentioned in my opening statement, the respondent committed the respondent committed actionable violations of board statute and rule on September 1st, 2020, when he touched the complainant, DES, inappropriately on her vulva in an attempt to stimulate her. Second, the state has showed that after the fact, the complainant went to the employer, the massage board, and the police department within 24 hours of the incident, and all statements given are substantially similar to the testimony that she gave today. Whereas the respondent noted that nothing happened out of the ordinary until 29 days later when he received the complaint of allegation, at which time he indicated it was the, you know, a very weird massage unlike he had ever had before. So we have strong facts to support that different, you know, that there's an inconsistency in one party's statement and there's not an inconsistency in the other. You know, based on the evidence presented, the state respectfully requests you adopt the factual allegations and alleged violations in the complaint and notice of hearing as your findings of fact and conclusions of law as stated. After having done so, the state, on behalf of the public, will respectfully defer to the board's judgment with regards to appropriate discipline in this matter. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Garcia, would you like to make a closing argument?
Yes, my second response was more specific. I tried to keep the same facts, but I didn't have the first response I had, so I didn't quite know what the exact facts were. I didn't try to take any facts away or put extra ones in. As far as the DS story, there is some factuals that have also been twisted, like me going back to the glute and not the back. She misses the glute. She told me to go back to the glute. But, yeah, that's about it.
Thank you. Does the state wish to make a brief rebuttal argument?
No, ma'am.
Thank you. Having heard the testimony and reviewed the evidence and arguments of the parties, the board will now discuss the case. The board can begin with general discussion or entertain motions. Who would like to begin our discussion?
I'll go ahead and start.
Thank you.
Everything I have learned in massage therapy, training, continuing education, and otherwise, when an individual has a boundary such as underwear or even a thong, what have you, things need to be draped accordingly. And at no time should any hands or anything else go beyond that boundary. I believe something happened with DS, and I think she took appropriate action under the circumstances. But I keep coming back to the draping. Even though she may have said, yeah, work the glutes at some point during the massage, and Mr. Garcia may have worked those glutes, there are ways of working glutes above the sheets, properly draped, with written and verbal permission, in such a manner that does not violate any aspect of the client's integrity. And so I'm really concerned with the draping aspect in this case. It really bothers me. And I can understand lowering an underwear with permission and tucking the sheet over top of it to get to a little bit of the lower back, but not in such a manner to work the glutes, exposing the glutes themselves. That's just not appropriate. in my opinion. That's all I got right now.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Ortega, Mr. McLean.
Go ahead, John.
I found the complainant's testimony credible. I haven't heard the therapist really give any defense of the allegations, so I'm tending towards something did happen. Whether it was as blatant as the complainant said, that part I'm not sure of, but I tend to believe the complainant is telling the truth, at least from her perspective.
Thank you. Mr. McLean, comment?
No, ma'am. Madam Chairman, I don't have any further comments, and I would actually move that we adopt or accept the factual and alleged findings by the state.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to not do that at this moment. I want to make one more comment, so redact your motion. I'm in agreement with Vice Chair Clark. I definitely think something happened. I think her actions of responding so quickly in the calling and notifying the manager of the facility of, you know, and I commend that facility for giving her resources where she could reach out, as well as filing a complaint and then filing a police report. We go by preponderance of evidence, and so I understand where it's a he said, she said, particularly in a court of law, and it's difficult to prove. So I appreciate that the police did communicate that to her, as well as the attorney that she talked with. But in my instance, I really believe that something did happen. I do not think it was unintentional. I think it was absolutely intentional. I think a male therapist would know how to work the inner thigh, and that his hand was inappropriate. I also understand that we have fight or flight, and we also have freeze. And while she did freeze at that moment, her judgment came to as she left the facility and realized what had happened. So that's my call on what I've heard in this testimony. Okay, the first item for discussion is any other comment from board members? Okay, the first item for discussion is the findings of fact. The complaint makes factual allegations I have page 4-7 of our packet. The board will now discuss whether the state has proven these allegations. So if you will look at that. And then Mr. McLean, if you would like to form a motion, I would entertain that.
Yes, ma'am. If my fellow board members do not have any additional questions or comments, I would move that in case 21113, that we move forward and accept the factual allegations in this case, as well as the alleged violations.
All right. And just, it's Barry Williams, just so we're clear, for Ms. Cisneros, you want to adopt factual allegations 1-7 as the findings of fact?
Yes,
and violations 1-5 as the conclusions of law.
Yes, ma'am.
Excuse me. Ms. William, I thought there was 1-7 on the conclusions of law.
Oh, is there 7? Maybe I'm missing a...
Mary, do we have to be that specific as far as
I just want to make sure that they're adopting all of them.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. So in the factual allegations, I would move that we accept 1-7, and then in the alleged violations, 1-5, in case 21113.
Yeah, I only have 5 as well.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. Thank you. right. Is there a second?
Emily Clark, I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
So unless I'm getting ahead of myself, or unless we have a discussion to make, I would also move in case 21113 that we would consider revocation of the license.
Ms. Williams, do we need to have the conclusions of law, or that was in the motion, correct?
Yes, Mr. Right. McClain covered those in one motion.
Right, thank you. Okay. Yes, Mr. McClain, please restate your motion.
Unless we have any further discussion or comments or suggestions, I would move forward in case 21113 and recommending revocation of the subject's license.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Emily Clark, second.
Ms. Cisneros, I would like a roll call vote, please.
Yes, Madam Chair. Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McClain?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion passes unanimous.
Thank you. This concludes the formal hearing. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served on the parties. The parties will have further appeal rights that will be explained in the board's order. This concludes the matter. Mr. Garcia, you may be excused. Thank you, everyone, for attending today. And Mr. Garcia, if you have any questions, you may contact board staff. Thank you.
And Madam Chair, this is Mary Williams. Ms. Cody and yes. I will be leaving. I believe that's all of your matters for independent advice.
Thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate it. Ms. Cody, nice to meet you. Ms. Williams, thank you.
All right, have a good day.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we're going to move on to formal interviews, and I'm going to need to change phones. So it is now 11:10, and we're going to go to formal interview 21-130, Mark Heward, and I will be back with you in a moment. You can pull everything up.
Fellow members, I need to step away for 2 minutes, and then I'll be back.
Okay, let's take a 5-minute recess and come back at 11:15. Thank you.
I can hear you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Good.
Okay, one. Okay. Thank you. It is now 11:15 on Monday, June 28th, 2021, and the State Board of Massage Therapy meeting is now back in session. Do we have all of our board members together? Okay. Moving on to case number 21-130, Mark Heward. Is Mr. Heward on the line?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Do you have an attorney with you?
No, I do not.
Okay, thank you. And WW, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Do you have an attorney present?
No, I do not.
Okay, thank you. Okay. It is now 11:16 a.m. on Monday, June 28th, 2021. This is a formal interview of Mark Heward in the case number 21-130. If the complainants are present, we will hear from the complainants before we interview the licensee. Board staff, would you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. The board received a complaint from WW regarding a massage trade between herself and the respondent, both of which hold active massage therapy licenses in Arizona. WW alleged that she received a massage from the respondent on September 7th, 2020. She stated that she asked for pictorial work
but the respondent massaged all around her breasts, including the sides and under portion and down the torso under the sheet, which made her very uncomfortable, and she was holding the sheet so it wouldn't move. WW alleged that the respondent also made inappropriate comments during the massage. WW stated that she had told the respondent 2 days before the massage that she was not comfortable getting a massage from him if he could not be professional, which he promised, and WW stated that she felt he waited for her to let her guard down and was fully relaxed to cross that professional line. WW did not render her end of the massage trade due to her negative feelings from her massage. WW stated that after the massage, she felt depressed and violated and provided copies of text message exchange between herself and the respondent that had been included in the board's packet. At its April 2020 meeting, the board revisited this matter and, after hearing from both the respondent and the complainant, voted to proceed to this formal interview based on the potential violations of law and the factual allegations as set forth in the investigative report. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. So, to the complainant, in order to protect your privacy, we will only use your initials to identify you.
Okay.
I would like WW, Mr. Hewart, and Mr. White, the investigator, and is there anyone else that we need to swear in? Okay, so, Mrs. Narrows, would you swear in our witnesses?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. Will the parties please raise your right hand?
Yep.
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. White, are you there?
I said I do.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So I'm Victoria Bowman, Chairman of the Board. The other board members will now introduce themselves.
Nick McLean, public member.
John Ortega, public member.
Ms. Clark, would you please introduce yourself?
Emily Clark, professional member.
Thank you. We have read the materials you provided. This proceeding is being audio taped. Everyone must speak loudly and clearly, and only one person may speak at a time, please. So, WW, would you please, and we've gone through this somewhat before, would you please tell us about your complaint, especially anything beyond what we have in our notes?
Absolutely. I haven't told you anything. There's nothing left to tell you that I haven't already told you. A friend of mine who's a massage therapist that I've worked with for the last 6 years now gave me a referral for my old practitioner that she received a trade from, that she traded with, and she knows that I like deep, effective massage work, body work. And she thought he would be right up my alley, so she suggested that he and I trade together and exchanged numbers for us. And we started chatting, texting on the phone to set up the trade, and we got along on a personal conversation, like restaurants, food, stuff like that, which is not unusual for me. And it kind of, towards the end of the conversation, it kind of took a different tone that I wasn't comfortable with. So I did, as you guys stated earlier, I did send him a text that I wouldn't be comfortable with the trade if he couldn't be professional. He said he would. I double-checked with my other massage therapist friend, and she said he was totally and completely professional throughout her massage. And she didn't think I had anything to worry about. So I proceeded with the trade, and I got mine first the next day. And it was a two-hour trade. And for the first 90 minutes, he was totally professional. The first hour was
my old practitioner work. I was fully dressed. He was fully dressed. I mean, it was, there was nothing unusual. The second hour was on the table. I get completely, I'm most comfortable completely undressed when I get a massage, especially since we were going to be doing glute work and pec work. So he started me face down. The first half hour was face down. It was a typical massage. He turned me face up, did the lower body first, and then was working the upper body and was working the pecs. And then he started going around the sides of the pecs, which kind of moved the drapes, and I started holding it. And then he actually went down the underneath the drapes, down the front, and down the torso. And at this time, I'm kind of doing this to hold my hold the sheets up. And to me, from any massage standpoint, that would tell me immediately that my client is uncomfortable with the draping, and I would change what I was doing, but he did not. And then the session ended, and we had a cordial outtake, and he left. And over the next couple of days, the emotions started coming out, and I got another two-hour massage from another gal I trade from, and all my emotions, just, I started crying in the massage. I had to talk to her about it and release it, and I realized what happened and how it affected me, and I told him that I wouldn't honor my end of the trade because, so I didn't move forward with that.
Thank you. So, Mr. Heward, we would like to hear from you now. please state your name.
Mark Heward.
Thank you.
Begin.
Is there anything that you wish? Yes, please.
Okay. All right. So, already, just to let you know, she's already misinterpreting the lengths and times and what happened. When I came to her, I met with her. I then left the room. She got on the table. Well, actually, hold on. Before we even started that, I did myopractics on her. She was fully dressed. I do 30 minutes of that. I do not do an hour. I do 30 minutes. I then said, okay, we're going to move on. And I left the room, let her get to her comfort level. She got to her comfort level. I came back in with permission. And then I did my massage. I did a very professional massage. I gave her a great massage, and she knows down deep that I gave her a great massage. I did excellent work. I did not do anything inappropriate. I told her I wouldn't, and I stuck to my word. I literally gave a professional massage. I've never been reported in 11 years. This is the first time, and yet I am being reported by a fellow massage therapist. I've already stated that we then talked. Again, 90 minutes of work on this person, never discussed, never said anything about, you know, popping off to me about I did something wrong or nothing. She knows the rules. She knows the laws. She never got up off the table. Not once did she even make that movement or that speech. Nothing. She knows I gave her a great massage, a professional massage, and that is why she stayed on the table. And then on top of that, we sat and talked for about 35, 40 minutes after the fact, where when she was on the table at that point, she was sitting up on her table and I was just over in her room. She has a bigger room and she had a chair. I was sitting in the chair. She then tells me, you know, and she gets out in like a very calming voice and she says, you know, when I massage people, I can step outside of my body and stand in the corner of the room and watch myself work. And I just was really turned off by that. I absolutely know that to be completely ridiculous. You know, it is what it is. I get that a lot of you guys think that you can do that, but I'm telling you right now, I just don't think it can be done. So I'm a very, very, very traditional. I'm a very, very therapeutic therapist. I help people get better. I actually work my butt off and I do a great job working on people. I mean, I literally beat myself up working on other people because I do a great job. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, if you really want to get down to it, when I was sent this paperwork, it absolutely has had me in a complete funk ever since. Because for 11 years, I have never had this problem. And yet I'm suffering this problem right now from another therapist. Okay. That therapist got excellent work done on her. She knows it. And that's all there is to it. I know for a fact that I'm already up against it. I'm 5-1 here. I know that. But I'm telling you, people, you were not in the room. You do not know, but I do. God knows. I gave a great and professional massage, and I did some myopractic treatment. She knows she got help. She knows she got worked on. She's probably never had that kind of work ever in her life. And the emotions that she released, that's on a personal thing. I have no idea. But I can tell you right now, I didn't go anywhere that I wasn't asked to go. And this, by the way, there was no money exchange here. This was two grown adults trading. Yeah. We have that right to do that. And I was given that right to do that. And I never received my other end of the trade. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. You know, and I don't even care if I ever receive money. That's not the point either. The point is, I help people. I went in there and I gave a great professional massage. That is the truth, and that is what I stand behind.
Thank you. Board members will now have the opportunity to ask some questions. And so, WW, I would like to ask you how long you've been doing massage. How long have you been licensed?
I've been licensed for 10 years now. I just renewed my license last month.
Okay, great. Thank you. When you said that you're, friendly, and I understand that, do you think that could have come across misinterpreted?
Well, it sounds like it did, because in the last meeting that we were in April, he made mention that he thought there was a date, a perceptual date or some sort. So clearly it must have come across differently, but that was not my intention.
So how do you feel about not completing your side of the agreement?
I'm totally okay with it because I'm not comfortable. I feel like in a massage room, two people, both the receiver and the provider, need to be totally comfortable with the person that they're working with. And if one of them is not, then it shouldn't be followed through with.
Right. And yet you were uncomfortable to the point that you confronted him with it, and he said he would be professional. So I'm trying to understand what was going on inside you, that two things. One, that you felt uncomfortable, and then as a massage therapist, that you didn't, when you said this was going on, you didn't say anything.
Right. So when I'm in a massage, I like to, once I've decided to trust somebody and once I get on the table, I like to submit to my massage and allow whatever healing needs to take place to take place. So when I confronted him the night before and when I questioned my fellow therapist, they reassured me that they'd both be professional. So at that point, I decided to trust him and to move forward. So once I stepped in the room with him, even for the clothes part, I was 100% in. And throughout the massage, again, he stayed professional. So, you know, I submitted to it. And so by then, my fight or flight was totally asleep. And my parasympathetic nervous system was completely engaged. And so that thought never came up. And I knew we were towards the end of the session. And so it just, and I'm a firm believer, I agree with you, because I've had patients come in, female patients come in and say the same thing. And, you know, I advocate for them. I tell them, you know, you can get up and walk off at any point during any massage. And I have done that myself when another female massage therapist wasn't giving me what I wanted. She couldn't do deep tissue like she said she could. I got up after 30 minutes out of a 90-minute massage, and I left. So I totally agree with you. I hear what you're saying, but my fight or flight just wasn't engaged, and it didn't come up.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions from the board to either WW or Mr. Heward?
Yeah, I would like to ask a question to Mr. Heward. DS stated that you had massaged up around here and then went straight down or sternum to the front of the body. Did you do that? Mr. Heward?
He might be muted.
Yes,
Mr. Heward, you can unmute.
Okay, sorry about that. I massaged what she asked me to massage.
And what did she ask you to massage?
She asked for pec work, so I gave her pec work.
Okay.
Does that include going
down the sternum and the front of the body?
Pec work is up here, above the waist. Right. And I worked that area. Yes, I did.
If you'll listen
to what she just said, she even just said, once again, I was professional. I am a professional. I would challenge any one of you to let me try and work on you. I'll show you.
That's not answering my question. Did you go down under the sheets on her sternum?
Of course I never went under the sheets. I never went under the sheets at all. I told you. I gave a professional massage with what she allowed me. And remember, she already said herself, ma'am, if you'll listen, she literally was holding the sheet herself. I don't know if I just feel like everybody's against what I'm trying to say to you guys. So I understand. I get it. But I'm telling you right now, there was nothing done wrong in this massage. You guys are not hearing the whole picture. The lady literally stayed on my table, was very comfortable for 90 minutes. 90 minutes. She is a professional. If she was ever uncomfortable, she should have got up and left. She never did. And then on top of that, ma'am, on top of that, if you'll really pay attention, this happened like on September 2nd. You guys even had to confirm the dates for me because I forgot. September 2nd, I'm not reported until January. But yet she was losing it, supposedly, the next day. I mean, this, I don't know what else to tell you guys. I really don't. It's frustrating to me. Therefore, you hear it in my voice. But I'm telling you right here, and I'm telling you right now, I gave a professional massage. There will never be anybody else in that room that can testify to that except for God himself. And I don't care if any of you are not spiritual or not, but that's the only person who can tell you the truth, except for the fact that I'm telling you the truth. I am telling you the truth. You can, like I said, I came into this meeting knowing five of you are already against me. Five out of six. I understand that. The odds of me.
This is John Ortega. I don't understand where this is answering the original question. If we could get back to the incident.
Absolutely.
Instead of what your belief is of what we are or aren't.
John, if you were in my boat, you'd probably feel the same way. But
Madam Chair, if I can also interject for just a quick moment.
Okay.
I apologize, board members.
No, Ms. Cisneros, you may have the floor.
Thank you. I wanted to ask the parties if you could please wait to be called on by the board. Also, if you can wait and go one at a time, so that way there's a clear record as well, since the meeting is being recorded and we can't hear when one person is speaking over the other. So if we can have a board member clearly state their question, finish that, and then have the respondent respond afterwards. And please try to stick to what question is being asked of you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. So, thank you, Mr. Heward. Again, let's answer the questions that are asked. Ms. Clark, do you have any further questions of Mr. Heward?
No, he gave me a lot more than I was trying to ask to get a determination of whether he did or did not. So,
okay. Thank you. Do you have any questions of WW?
Yes, I do.
WW, okay, why don't you?
You did mention that you were holding the sheets up like this, and I'm kind of doing kind of what you said you had done. Okay. At that point, was he under the sheet or was he moving over top of the sheet when you say he went down? You're unmuted, please.
When I was holding the sheets like this, he was going around the sides and underneath.
Okay.
And effleuraging around the sides and underneath of the breasts. And then he stopped and I put my arms down. And then he went down and under.
Was that under the sheet or on top of the sheet?
Under the sheet.
And you're positive and sure that he
went
over?
Without a question, which is why I'm... Okay. Which is why I have my video up. I want you guys
and this has been asked of many other people too. Mm-hmm. Why at that point did you not stop the massage?
Again, my fight or flight was not kicked in. I don't know why, other than my fight or flight just wasn't kicked in and it didn't come up. And I know full well that I have that right.
Okay. Okay, that's all I have for now.
Mr. McClain, Mr. Ortega, do either of you have questions for WW or yes, Mr. Heward?
I do for Mr. Heward and WW afterwards.
Okay.
So looking at the text between the two of you, Mr. Heward, did you interpret anything at any time other than a professional relationship between yourself and WW? Unmute yourself, please. Unmute yourself, please.
We both discussed going on a date.
Stop.
Okay. You asked me a question, sir.
Yes. So yes or no, did you interpret anything between the two of you?
No. That's not fair. It's not a yes or no question. That's not fair at all. I'm not going to let you take my right away from giving you a real answer. No, you guys are putting my license on the line.
We're putting your license online with your continued outburst. We're asking you questions. We're trying to make educated decisions about how we're going to move forward, sir.
If you were in my boat, Nick, you would be doing the same thing. You would be defending yourself.
I have nothing else.
Mr. Heward, this is Board Chair Bowman. We have a civility policy, and we really want to hear what you have to say. However, we don't need to repeat it multiple times. And if you would, please just take a deep breath, have a sip of water, and let's see if we can't come back to a little calmer conversation, please.
Mr. Heward, I do want to let you know that your line has been muted just so that the chair could
speak. Sorry.
No worries.
I forget that when I'm done talking, it goes off.
Wait one moment, please. One moment, please, Mr. Heward. We're trying to get through this, too. I understand, but we're trying to be civil about it, too. I just want to give you one more warning that an outburst will result in a mute so that the board chair can get a hold of the meeting, and then we can proceed from there. Thank you very much. Okay.
So, Mr. Heward, if you would, we do have the text in our packet, and we just wanted Mr. McClain ask a question regarding, were you, the two of you, thinking of going on a date?
We both were, yes. So, we both talked about it. Yes, that is the truth.
Okay, thank you. Mr. McClain, would you like to...
I'm sorry, go ahead, Chairman.
No, go ahead. Mr. McClain, if you would like to continue questioning, please go ahead.
Yes, so the final question I have for you, sir, is... when you're doing the massage, what was your feeling or belief as to why she was holding the sheet up high during the massage?
Sir, I can honestly tell you, okay, that these actions that she's telling you, they were not in the room. I cannot explain to you from September 1st or September 2nd, everything specific. Not 100%. I can't. She can't either. But I can honestly tell you right now that I gave a professional massage. She never got up off the table because she knows that. I can't express it to you any further. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. McClain, do you have questions of WW?
Yes, ma'am. When you had the sheet up high, what was the reason for bringing it up there in the first place, and then why did you release it?
The draping was not tight, and I felt like it was going to come loose and go down past my comfort levels.
Okay, and then why did you release it while he was still working your upper body, your pec area?
Because he had moved above the sheet, and I know that I no longer felt like that was a threat.
So if he moved up above the sheet, you didn't see that it was possible that he could come down, again, working in that pec area?
I felt like if he went down again, I would just put my hands back up.
Okay, and then when he allegedly went down again, you did not bring your hands back up?
Yes, I did.
Okay, all right. I have nothing else, ma'am.
Thank you. Mr. Ortega, do you have any questions?
No, not at this time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, I do have a question.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Ortega.
For WW, have you been in contact with the therapist since this incident?
No, sir. I blocked him from my phone.
And I would like to say that not getting up isn't a sign that nothing happened. The case we just had, she was a nurse and she didn't get up. So don't ever feel that because you didn't get up, somehow you're in the wrong. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ortega.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
The Vice Chair has her hand raised. I just wanted to point that out.
Okay, I don't see it on my screen. Thank you.
It's okay. Ms. Clark? It's okay. It's just that the question that I asked was elaborated far too much, and the question was briefly answered at the very beginning, and I think never mind. We'll save the rest for discussion.
Okay. So does the licensee have anything additional to comment on? Or
yes,
any additional remarks?
Okay. Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
First of all, there was never any guarding in this massage because she didn't need to guard. There was never any guarding. She was completely safe on that table. She's, you know, what she's dealing with in her own emotional world or her own emotional life, that's not my problem. I gave a professional massage. Second of all, I just want to state that in my own personal opinion, I feel that the state of Arizona Massage Board has failed not only me, but they are probably failing many others in the fact that, first of all, these kind of meetings should be in person. Second of all, I believe that the investigator should have came out and talked with us personally. In this day and age of what's going on, okay, whether you agree with it or whether you don't, the fact is we are still human beings and we need to be dealt with on a personal basis, not over the phone. Okay. I might not, you asked me if I had any concerns and stuff. I'm answering those.
Thank you.
So am I not allowed to?
We need it to be confined to the case. Mr. Monahan?
This is confined to the case.
You had it correct.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't know what. Am I able to talk or am I not?
Mr. Monahan, will you give
Absolutely.
Your opinion?
You can talk as long as you're addressing matters that involve the case, not board policy or, you know, board authority to investigate, anything like that.
So we can be a therapist in the state of Arizona under a board that we're not allowed to question their ways they go about things and how we can potentially have 11 years of being a therapist, not one thing, and I do a trade with another therapist, and all of a sudden out of the blue, she can take my license from me, and I can't question any of that, and I can't question how I was interviewed or how the process has even worked.
Okay, thank you.
I'm completely, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Okay, Mr. Heward, thank you. Ms. Cisneros, do you have, I saw you raised your hand.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to piggyback on what Mr. Monahan had just mentioned. The respondent has the opportunity at this point to provide a closing statement. Anything that he feels the board needs to know in terms of the case. If you do have concerns regarding the board's processes or policies, there is an opportunity for you to make a statement regarding that during the board's call to the public, which has already taken place today. You also have your right to submit something in writing to the board. There's another way for you to go about doing that. At this time, what the chair is asking you for is to make your final closing comments before the board enters into deliberations. I didn't want you to think that you don't have an opportunity to state concerns that you might have about the board. There's just another avenue for you to do that. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board.
Thank you, Ms. Cisneros. So, Mr. Heward, would you wrap up your closing comment?
All I can tell you is that I gave a professional massage. I am innocent, and you guys, you know, you can judge me by my character. You can judge me by my actions. You can judge me by all that. But you don't know my therapy. I'm a very good therapist. I help a lot of people. I help a lot of people. People that are in pain, I help them out. And so you can choose to vote against my attitude, my feistiness, my, you know, just whatever the aura is that you want to, you know, think and know of who you think I am, so be it. But I'm telling you right now, and she knows, I gave a professional massage, and I'm very good at what I do. And
thank you. Thank you. Does any board member have any additional questions? Okay, the board will now deliberate. After a formal interview, the board may take any of the following actions. A, dismiss if the information is without merit. B, file an advisory letter. C, order continuing ed in order to rehabilitate and educate. D, order the payment of restitution. E, file a letter of reprimand. F, issue a decree of censure. G, adopt findings of fact, conclusions of law, and G1, impose probation. G2, suspend the license for less than 12 months. Or G3, restrict licensee's practice. And H, refer to formal hearing. So would any board member like to start in giving their view about this case and how it should be decided?
John Ortega. I think WW was very uncomfortable in this session, and although I don't think it rises to the level of disciplinary action, I believe we should put a non-disciplinary letter in his file. I would be satisfied with that.
So you're an advisory letter?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Nick, public member. I'm in agreement with John, mostly because of the fact that the interactions between each of them borderline on, I don't mean to say unprofessional, but other than professional. when they were having their text or their chats with each other. So I think an advisory letter to put him on notice so that he understands the ramifications of his actions, and maybe if their party decides to move forward with any more trades, that they think ahead of time to keep everything strictly professional with somebody that they have never met before.
Thank you. Ms. Clark?
I agree with Mr. McLean that I do believe that WW was very uncomfortable. And I know that trades do take place between therapists. However, I think that I believe I noticed in the text messages going between the two of them that Mr. Heward mentioned something that if she was comfortable enough and wanted to pay him for the massage, she could do that. If she didn't want to, that was okay too. It's kind of been my thoughts that if you're going to work with a massage therapist in a trade, let it happen at work where it's a little bit more controlled. And if it's going to happen outside, go ahead and pay the therapist for their time. I think that Mr. Heward's actions have gotten a little bit out of hand, extremely defensive. I know he's trying to defend himself, which is what anyone would want to do for themselves. But you also have a therapist that was extremely uncomfortable. She admitted that, she showed that, and I think she made her case. I think a disciplinary letter with perhaps ethics, a class on ethics, would be appropriate, in my opinion, because sometimes, as therapists, we all know there's a lot of gray areas. There's never anything black or white. It's always a gray area when things like this happen. And so it's trying to decide what should happen versus what shouldn't happen. And I think that next time anyone that does decide to make a trade, I think trust should be established well ahead of time first, before you go ahead with that. A disciplinary letter, I think, would be advisable, and the ethics class would be very much advisable for Mr. Heward.
Vice Chair, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. The advisory letter would be non-disciplinary. We don't have
Okay, that's what I meant. I'm sorry.
Okay, just clarifying.
Thank you for the clarification.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Clark. This is Chair Bowman. I see some discrepancies on both sides. In the case of WW, she didn't heed her. She did participate in the text messages back and forth. She did ask for professionalism. She has gotten off the table on other practitioners if she didn't like the work. I do agree that Mr. Heward is a little bit fiery. I can understand why as well. I think that this is an unfortunate thing. I think both practitioners need to look at themselves as to how they handle their practice, because I would like this profession to remain professional. I'm in agreement with the non-disciplinary advisory letter as well. I don't necessarily think that CEs need to be part of it. I think maybe being called up the way it has is perhaps sufficient enough. So now that we've all spoken, does any board member wish to make a motion?
This board member McLean, I will move that in the case of 21-130 Mark Heward, that we adopt a non-disciplinary advisory letter for this individual.
And what would be the basis of that advisory letter?
in whatever terms that you're going to use, sir, would be the ability to maintain professionalism, you know, within the field. You know, we can't really address somebody's attitude and their mannerisms. So I would say we just leave it at the area of professionalism in the realm of massage therapy.
And would you like that to also specify including during trades with other massage therapists?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
John Ortega, I second.
Okay. Mrs. Narrows, if you would read the motion and then take a roll call vote.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The motion on the floor is to issue an advisory letter for concerns relating to the ability to maintain professionalism, including during trades with other massage therapists. Can I have the motion maker and seconder just confirm that that language is okay?
John Ortega, yes, it is.
Yes, and ma'am.
Thank you very much. Roll call vote, Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
Thank you. And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion passes unanimous.
Thank you. So to WW and Mr. Heward, thank you for attending. If you have any questions, please be in touch with board staff. Okay, let us move on to case 21-133, Derek Beardsley. Okay, is Mr. Beardsley on the call today? If you would please unmute. Please unmute yourself and let me know you're here.
Present.
Okay, thank you. Do you have an attorney with you?
Negative.
Okay, thank you. And LM, are you present today? The complainant, LM?
Chairwoman,
yes, Mr. White.
I've been trying to get in contact with her since the last meeting. She has responded. I sent several letters to her and no response. Her phone is, the mailbox is full, so I can't leave a voicemail. I recommend that this case probably be dismissed.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Monahan, do I need to go through the script for the formal interview?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. It is now 12 o'clock on Monday, June 28th, 2021. This is a formal interview of Derek Beardsley, case number 21-133. If the complainants are present, she is not and will not come forward. Board staff, Mrs. Farrells, would you give us a brief summary of the case?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. The board received a complaint from LM, who underwent an in-home massage therapy session on January 20th by the respondent. She had alleged that during the massage, when she was prone and just in her underwear, the respondent made comments that he was taking her to Pleasure Town and to Paradise. After flipping her over, LM waited to be handed the sheet back, and when it did not occur, she asked if she needed the sheet back, and he said that she did not. There were several other allegations that LM made in her complaint regarding inappropriate touching by the respondent during the massage. There was one instance where LM had alleged that respondent alternated between massaging normal areas of her body and rubbing his hand over her vagina, at one point holding it there and instructing her to breathe with him. LM alleged that he went under her underwear a number of times during the massage. LM also claimed that the respondent rubbed her breasts, her nipples, stomach, and then over her genitals again before climbing on top of her to help release her hips and lower back. LM stated that throughout the massage, respondent was blowing on her, telling her to take a deep breath and blow out, especially when he would touch her private areas. LM reported that her boyfriend had witnessed her face up with no drape and later saw the respondent straddling her and playing with her breasts. LM also had stated that respondent explained to her that he used some advanced Eastern healing techniques on her because he could sense her energy and her body can handle it, and that these techniques are not used much in the West because people like to sexualize them. After the massage, LM's boyfriend received an email indicating that the massage had been canceled. The owner also confirmed that their system showed that the massage was also canceled. The board previously considered this matter at its April meeting and voted to proceed to formal interview based on the potential violations of law and the factual allegations set forth in the investigative report, with the addition of ARS 32-4253A15 as it relates to B, subsection 2, subsection C, and E. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Mr. Beardsley, if you would, Ms. Cisneros, would you please swear in Mr. Beardsley and also Mr. White?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. Would you both please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. I'm Victoria Bowman, Chairman of the Board. The other board members, I will just introduce them. Mr. Nick McLean is a public member. Mr. John Ortega is also a public member. And Emily Clark is the vice chair and is an industry member. We've read the materials that you provided, and this proceeding is being audio taped. Everyone, please speak loudly and clearly, and only one person speak at a time. So if the licensee would come forward, please state your name.
Derek Beardsley.
Thank you. You have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today, the process of the formal interview, and the possible actions the boards may take. The purpose of this formal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case and decide the outcome. We have read all the materials that have been submitted by both you and the complainant. We have heard a brief overview of the case as well as the complainant and would like to now interview you. What I would like to ask right now is to speak with Mr. White because he's our investigative, our investigator. You made mention when this started that you felt it should be dismissed. Can you put light on that for me, please?
Yes, the individual complaining has failed to make contact with us. I've emailed her, sent email several letters for attendance to the board meeting, and she's failed to respond on anything. Her phone boxes stays full, so there's no way for me to leave a phone message. So, she's not complying at this time. And I think it's very unfair for us to keep going with this if she's not going to participate.
And just to, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. I apologize, Madam Chair, for jumping in. But, and Andrew can correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe that during the course of investigation, some concerns were brought up about the complainant and their significant other, in that we may not have been given the right information. There are questions as to the veracity of the truthfulness of the complaint.
That's correct.
Thank you. Mr. Monahan, may I just go to discussion with the board on this?
Absolutely. If the board feels that they don't need to speak to Mr. Beardsley, you can go to discussion.
Okay, so I'm going to open it up to the board members in two cases. One, if you would like to ask Mr. Beardsley a question, you may do so and designate that. Or also, if you would just like to make comments about this case and see where we would like to go with it. Ms. Clark? Excuse me. Is that Mr. McLean?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, please go ahead.
Mr. Beardsley, and I apologize if I am not remembering this correctly, but when we discussed this before, did you say that some of your techniques are not as common to the Westerners as they are Easterns? Or I see you rolling your eyes, but I'm just trying to recall what we discussed previously.
Absolutely not. Everything that I do is very therapeutic. What I'm known to do is myofascial release at its expense. So that's the most of my techniques is myofascial work. You know, you can say trigger point is myofascial work. You can say stretching is myofascial work. That it's all essentially just fascial tearing, what I do.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. McLean, Madam Chair, I'm sorry for interrupting. I just wanted to clarify that part of my presentation came directly from the complaint. Just to clarify that was something the complainant had indicated that the respondent had told her.
Understood. That's why I was trying to clarify it with Mr. Beardsley, because I couldn't remember if that was something that you had read to us or something that Mr. Beardsley had made in his statement previously.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is Board Chair Bowman. For me, I think there's a lot of confusion on this case. We brought it forward because we really wanted to get more clarification. And obviously the complainant and or the boyfriend that said they saw what was happening is not coming forward. So I am leaning towards dismissing this because the information is without merit.
I would agree.
I'm in agreement too.
Okay, so I would like to move that we dismiss the case because the information is without merit. Is there a second?
John Ortega, I second.
Thank you. Ms. Cisneros, would you please read the motion and take a roll call vote?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. The motion on the floor is to dismiss as the complaint is without merit. Roll call vote, Ms. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes, ma'am.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion passes unanimous.
Thank you. Mr. Beardsley, I'm sure this has been a challenging situation. Thank you very much for your participation in this. And if you have any questions, please contact board staff. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you. Y'all have a nice day, okay?
Okay, thank you. Okay. So it is now 10 after 12. Are we ready to just plow into investigative reviews?
Let's go for it.
Okay. So let's start with case 21-141, Amber Stewart.
That case is not scheduled for today. I don't know how they got on the docket.
Oh, okay. Okay. So
I'm sorry. Did this case get pulled? Because this case was included in our agenda review.
No.
Right.
I didn't put it in there.
Okay. Excuse me. Chair Bowman, I have a note on my file that it was moved to July. So, great. We're moving on. Okay. So let's go to 21-159. Tyce Robinson. Okay. Is Mr. Robinson here?
I am.
Okay, Ms. Robinson, excuse me.
Madam Chair, this is Shanks Leonard. I'm also present on behalf of Ms. Robinson as her attorney.
Okay, and your name again?
It's Shanks Leonard.
Okay, got it.
S-H-A-N-K-S.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. I'm getting my paperwork together. Give me just a moment, please. Mr. Monahan, I need some help as to where to go.
What Madam Chair, this form? Is Andrea. I'd be happy to provide the board with a brief summary if you'd like.
Okay, please do. Thank you.
This is for, thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. This is for case number 21-159. The board received a complaint from JJ alleging that on April 3rd, her daughter EC was seen by the respondent for cupping therapy on her arm. JJ alleged that during the session, respondent did not request EC's parents' authorization to treat or advise EC of the proper protocol for treatment prior to arriving at her facility. JJ stated that EC was not properly hydrated upon arrival and that during the cupping treatment, EC felt sharp pain after one of the cups was placed on her upper right shoulder. JJ stated that a final cup was placed on the top right side of EC's neck, at which time she felt a sharp pain, dizziness, and fainted. JJ alleged that respondent attempted to perform CPR incorrectly and attempted chest rubs that were also performed incorrectly. JJ felt that the respondent was negligent in her actions, and as a result, EC was transported to the ER and subsequently air-vacced to PCH, where seizures was ruled out. That concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. So is JJ on the call today? And or the daughter, the EC. Okay.
Yeah, she's on there. She's on there.
So is JJ the parent on, or EC the juvenile, or both?
I know
both.
The parent.
You are on speakerphone, and we are together.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. So. JJ, would you, we do have this in the packet. Would you have anything additional that you want to add to this case?
Madam Chair, I apologize. It's Assistant Attorney General James Monahan.
Please.
If we, I think for this investigative review purpose, it would be best to, start with the respondent. Finish those questions you may have, then go to the complainant, and then go back to the respondent if you need to clarify anything.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, Ms. Robinson, would you like to tell us your side of what occurred during this session?
Yes, ma'am. So, Emma has come to me, or EC, sorry, has come to me a few times asking to be cupped. Once before in November 18th, she had stated that she wanted to get her arm worked on. And these folks actually nanny my son. I'm a single mother. So it's kind of a family friend type thing. I've never charged her whatsoever. I've always done it either in my home or before hours of my office. So Mrs. Collins, EC, I guess you would say, sorry, had texted me, a couple days before asking to go ahead and get her service done. She had sent me a message stating that she wanted to, get her arm worked on. She was having problems with her arm. I went ahead and told her, let me get back to her on some times. I have text messages in my, documentation we provided you. She had stated that, she wanted to get in. I gave her the time. We went ahead and got her in. We scheduled her for 8:15 on Saturday, April 3rd. Sorry. We started her service. She came in with her girlfriend. She was, the other girl was 15 years old. She stated that, you know, the only thing she's had problems with again was the second time cupping her. She had stated that she had pain down her arm and she's been playing softball and it's been hurting her. And the first time it helped her, so we went ahead and went again. During the text message, she even stated that she wanted to know what time so she can tell the mother. It is also stated in my review. She also asked how much money to bring. I stated nothing at all. Like I said, these people I've considered, I thought were my family friends. They had always provided great care for my child, everything. They started nannying my kid a couple years ago, and we've developed a friendship family thing. They're in and out of my home. My kid's in and out of their home. Like I said, developed a family thing. She went ahead and came in for her service that morning. She looked fine completely. It was before my spa's hours. She looked completely fine. She was excited to get it done. She wanted me to explain to her friend how it works. So I went ahead and placed the cups. First, I had asked her to go ahead and have a seat. My little boy went with me because he was excited to see her. Like I said, these people were completely friends and family of ours that I considered. My little boy was in the office, said hello. We got her in the room. I didn't even ask her to undrape. She went ahead and just pulled her sleeve out herself, out of her hoodie. She had a big sweater, and she was wearing a sports bra. So we went ahead and placed the cups in the areas, and I also provided you guys with the documentation of where I placed the cups due to the fact that there was a sweater bulkiness around the neck, also with the sports bra coming around the outside of her shoulder blade. I went ahead and placed the cups within less than about a minute and a half. She had stated that she was going to pass out and she was feeling wheezy. So I removed the cups automatically. She had passed out on me. I told her friend to call 911 as soon as possible. We started CPR. I did CPR. I then noticed that she started, as we went through the CPR steps, she started to seize, which I have a seizure disorder. I know a lot of seizures. I know what they're looking like. That's what it, to me, presented. And so I started to do a sternum rub. 911 arrived. Even before that, the father had arrived, and he had came into the room. I asked him to help me because she was falling off the table. He helped me slide her back onto the table so we can then begin to still perform CPR. And once the EMS got there is when the seizures were more looked like noticeable at that time. Then the EMS took her away. I kept checking on the families, texting the family, how is it going? What's going on? I have all those text messages also. The next day I was even told the following day she had another episode that morning. And that was the last I had heard from her. The mother had sent me a few messages stating that I had messed up and I had screwed up her daughter. And I stopped replying just because I don't do confrontation.
Thank you. It may be. Okay, thank you. To the complainant, JJ?
Yes.
Do you have anything that you would like to add?
Excuse me.
Do you have anything you would like to add before we go to questions?
Yes, now I just want to clarify. Okay, I just want to clarify what Ms. Robinson just stated. She stated that my daughter went there for cupping on her arm, which, again, I did not know about. I have copies of the text message. Never did EC tell her so that I can tell my mom. Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing is that I have pictures of where the cups were placed, and they were not just placed on her arm. They were placed on her neck. Okay, that was the second thing. The third thing that Ms. Robinson failed to state that when she tried to give my daughter CPR, which is the first thing that they teach you when you give somebody CPR, is clear the airways. My daughter still had gum in her mouth when Ms. Robinson tried to give her CPR. Knowing her knowledge of seizures, she should have known that this was not a seizure. It was a vasovagal syncope. At no point was foaming at the mouth. She at no point had any kind of valve movement. There was no indication of a seizure at all whatsoever. She also placed cups on my daughter's friend, who, as she stated, was 15, with no parental consent. So two children in that office, neither had parental consent, neither knew of the procedures and what they should do. She had gotten cupped once before, again without my knowledge. I didn't even know that she had gone that day. So she shouldn't be treating people who are minors without parental consent. I don't consider her a family friend. The only reason I knew Miss Robinson was because I knew she had a little boy who was friends with my other friend. That's how I knew Miss Robinson. We have never socially interacted. We have never socially participated in any events together. Our relationship has only been semi-professional at that. My daughter, EC, did not nanny for her. It was my oldest daughter who did. And EC only went to help if needed because she didn't have anybody. Single mom, I'm not sure. She has a significant other that she shares a home with. So, again, we were doing favors for her but completely professional. Money was exchanged. Transactions were exchanged. This wasn't a, hey, just come hang out with me relationship. So I just want to clarify that.
Thank you. Okay. Do any of the board members have questions for Ms. Robinson?
Yes, ma'am.
If we could just make sure that we interview one side and then move on to the other, instead of that way we're not jumping back and forth.
Okay, what I was doing is giving each one of them an opportunity to add additional information before I went to questions.
Okay.
So that was my thought. So then I wanted to go back to, you want me to do the complainant first in questions?
No, it's fine if you want to go back to Ms. Robinson.
Okay. Okay, so Mr. McLean, you had some questions for Ms. Robinson?
Yes, I'm looking through the paperwork here. I don't see any text. Do we have access to those?
Yeah, this is Mr. Lenhart, Mr. Robinson's attorney. There was a written response submitted. And I don't know if that made its way to you. It was submitted timely, though, on June 16th. Has screenshots of embedded text messages. I think those are the text messages to which Ms. Robinson is referring to.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to be able to see those before I made any kind of determination today, but I do have some questions still. Ms. Robinson, are you CPR certified?
Yes.
And when does that expire?
I will have to double check on that. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay. And the cup technique, you said this was the second time you'd used it on her. Was it consistent with the first time that you had done it?
Correct.
So where exactly were the cups placed?
Also, you can refer that back to my letter that I had submitted.
I understand. I'm asking you right now, where did you place the cups?
So I placed them across the top of the trapezius, the deltoid, and on the rhomboid. Also, the sphincter muscle down in the forearm.
Okay. And the first time she tolerated the technique with no problems?
No problem whatsoever. And okay. She was also done it with her sister that day on the 18th of November.
And are you aware, on that first time that it took place, were you aware if the mother had any issues or was aware of the therapy taking place?
Yes, the mother had gave me permission to do the older girl, which I had taken once when she first started with me. The oldest daughter did pay once. After that, the oldest daughter had came to my house and had cupping done also. When she had that cupping, she had asked if she can go ahead and see if her mother can, how do I explain it? She wanted to see if her mother would go ahead and give her permission to have her little sister be worked on. And she had called when they were in my home. The oldest sister had called and asked the mother if it was okay to work on Emma. And she said yes. And I told Emma, and I also have that text message also, to go ahead and come on over to get cupped.
And the text, was that to the younger sister or was that to the mother?
That was to the younger sister.
Okay, so you overheard a phone conversation versus actually speaking with the mother yourself?
Yes.
Okay. And then you mentioned that you have experience with seizures. Is frothing at the mouth and losing your bowels something that is standard, or is that in some cases but not across the board?
On some cases but not across the board.
Okay, thank you. Do you recall, I know it was probably a stressful situation at the time, do you recall if you actually used ABCs, the airway breathing, circulation, clearing the airway, checking the airway, checking a pulse before going into compressions?
I checked the airway and I checked her pulse first and looked into the airway and started performing CPR.
Okay. Did you have any interaction with the EMTs when they picked the young lady up as far as what their thoughts were on what had taken place?
They had removed her sweater and put her in there, and they had stated it was a seizure. And that it looked very much so like a seizure, and they went ahead and hauled her off. I don't know anything else besides what the older sister had stated. The older sister had stated that, she had stated that, you know, the next day they released her from Children's Hospital that evening. And then she had texted me, and I asked her the following day, hey, how's she doing? What happened? Do we have any results? Like, it was kind of a freak accident. I don't know, like, how she felt, like, or, like, I don't know what happened. She's, like, passed out on me. And she had stated that that night they had released her from Children's Hospital, and the next morning she had another episode, and they hauled her back to the hospital.
Okay, and does your attorney have documentation of a follow-up at the hospital for a second incident?
Mr. McLean, we don't have any records at all of them provided by the complaint regarding the medical records of EC. So okay. What we have, though, is a text message I think Ms. Robinson's referring to that is from either the older daughter or someone else that is where we're getting the information that she was transported back to the hospital a day later after a second episode. But I'm sure that that would be clarified if we had the records, the medical records for EC.
Okay.
Board Member McLean, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. I apologize for jumping in on you. You know, it sounds like we need more information in order to adjudicate this matter. And because we do need more information and not just somebody to come interview, it would be prudent, you know, and I don't want to stop your questions, but it would be prudent whenever you're done questioning that we continue this matter to the next meeting and get those materials that you're looking for.
Yep, I agree. But part of my questioning, too, is trying to see what we have and what we don't have so that if we say we want to move forward, all parties know what kind of information we would hopefully like to receive.
Mr. McLean. If he mailed that material to me, the other records that was asked about earlier, it hasn't gotten here yet. So I don't, you know, the mail has been kind of slow. So, but I do have the initial medical response, but I don't have a secondary one.
Hold on. I want to clarify this for the record. Mr. White, you received my client's written response, which was emailed to you on June 16th, in which you confirmed receipt in an email to me, correct?
Yes, hold on a second. Let me see. Let me check.
Okay, because I have a confirming receipt email that you received that response and the attachments.
One second.
I'm happy to share my screen. Frankly, for any of these questions, I could put up the diagram where the cups are placed, if you'd like. But and respectfully to the counsel for the state, you know, we've been on this call for 3.5 hours. And so we'd like to address the questions the board has right now and frankly get this sorted out. And so I would ask the board ask the questions they want now. If the board hasn't seen our written response, though, I question the efficacy of this interview. Because we've laid out a lot of information in that response and exhibits.
Mr. Chang, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. This is a fact-finding mission. It's not a formal interview right now. This is
I understand.
This is the investigative review.
I, I understand, but I want to just confirm whether the board has in fact received the materials that were submitted as requested or not. Just a question, curiosity.
One second. It's inside the board packet.
I'm sorry, Andrew, you said that's part of the board packet?
Yeah.
Could you direct me to what page number that is, please?
I'm on a whole different system than y'all are. That's why I had a problem with them earlier. But it should be item number 4, part of the board packet. It's on her response. It says response of a board complaint. 2021.
Okay. Right, I'm not seeing that on our end in the packet that was sent out. That's why I'm trying to figure out what page that would be on.
You know something? I don't know. I don't put that packet together, so I don't know.
So I guess here's my thoughts, and you guys can take it for what it's worth. I think it's important for you to read the response. I don't know if you want to postpone this to the next board meeting, where the board members have an opportunity to read the response, because we provided a very detailed response with exhibits and attachments. But again, if you want to ask her any further questions, I mean, she's certainly here and she's willing to cooperate, but, and we've been on the phone a long time, so. Yeah.
Okay, this is Board Chair Bowman. I would like to move that we move this case to a formal interview with Express.
Madam Chair, we don't have the materials to move this forward to formal interview right now. The board needs to review the documents that were sent by the attorney, so we would continue this investigative review.
Okay, perfect. So then I would like to move that we continue this at another meeting and ask that all the information, including the medical information from this young lady's time in from the medical transport to the hospital, be made available, as well as the information from Ms. Robinson, so that we have a complete packet.
Madam Chair.
Is there? Yes.
Madam Chair, this is Mr. Lenhart. One other thing I think would be helpful to inform the board and investigating this, the medical records I think are absolutely critical. And those were not submitted by the complainant. And we noted in our response that if the board wants to take this further, then you absolutely need those medical records. I think we need to be able to see what actually happened to her.
Yes, and Mr. Lenhart, I did put that in the continuance.
Yeah, and so the other thing that was mentioned, two things. One, the complaint mentioned that there were pictures of where the cups were placed. I've never seen those pictures. And so if there are pictures that show where the cups were placed, including a cup on the neck, I think the board needs to ask for those. Third, I would ask the board to have the complaint provide the text messages between her and her daughter surrounding the day of the incident. Because our position is that the mother was well aware that this was going on. And in fact, EC told the mother that she was going over that morning for this to occur. And so I think it's helpful to have those messages to determine, in fact, whether that conversation did happen.
Thank you.
Board Chair, I will like to second, but I'd also like to request that if there are pictures involved, that those pictures also be presented to us.
Yeah, and we do have medical documents from the first incident. What I'm interested in is seeing the documents from the second incident, because I think that might give us a more concrete diagnosis on what took place from the initial complaint that the EMTs have.
Okay, Mr. Monahan, are you comfortable with all that going on?
Absolutely. I don't think that the board could take any action or move this anywhere until they've seen all the materials. Okay, so I appreciate Mr. Leonard.
Right. Yes, indeed. So the motion on the floor is for a continuance to the next meeting. and to have each party present any communication between them and the individuals involved, including the siblings, as well as medical records, soap notes, documentation, and to have that available at the next meeting. Is there a second?
Emily Clark, second.
Okay, let's just have a vocal, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Okay, any opposed? If so, moved. So I wish to thank everyone for attending today to this, and please be in touch with board staff and get that information into our packet so that we can have a more successful understanding of what occurred. Thank you. Thank you for attending.
This is JJ. Can I make a comment?
No, this matter is over. This matter is over.
We will talk with you in July. You may contact
board staff.
Well,
it would be nice if Ms. Robinson could stop.
Okay. You, please. Okay, thank you. Let's move on now to case 21-161, Javal Khamis.
Madam Chair, I believe somebody has their hand raised.
Okay, and I can't see who that is.
A JF. I'll just use the initials, JF.
JF.
JF. You're muted, JF, but you have your hand raised.
So would JS please unmute yourself and let me know why your hand is raised, what the matter is?
Okay, never mind.
Okay.
Nope.
We see you, but we don't hear you.
Your line is still muted.
Okay, I believe star six.
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
We can hear you now.
Okay.
Would you please share what your hand raising is regarding?
I apologize. My phone was in my pocket.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Okay. Do you have a comment to make? Is there something on the agenda that we need to address with you, Mr. Fames?
No, ma'am. Okay. I don't know why that's my name on there. I apologize.
Okay. So we're now at case 21-161, Javal Khamis. Is Mr. Khamis present today?
You mean
yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So that's you. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Monahan, do we have any clarification to this case at the moment?
Andrea, would you like to give your synopsis?
Yes, Madam Chair. If you'd like, I have a brief summary I can give the board quickly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. The board received notification from the federal government that the respondent in this case was being looked at for charges that involved illegal loan, wire fraud, and larceny, among others, and that's currently being handled by the United States Secret Service. The board will note that in October of 2019, the board suspended the respondent's license for 1 year and ordered that he complete continuing education hours and pay a civil penalty. The board staff has discovered that the respondent has not complied with any of the requirements of this board order. It was also discovered that the respondent was operating as a licensed massage therapist while his license was suspended. On January 30th of 2021, the respondent's license expired due to non-renewal. On May 11th of 2021, the board issued the respondent a cease and desist order. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kalmese, do you have anything to say?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I have a question just for the record. Was any of the, Andrew, you might be able to answer, was any of the consent agreement provisions complied with?
No.
Okay.
So,
this one's up to the board's pleasure, Madam Chair.
Okay.
If the board doesn't have to consider the other pending crimes, the board can move this right to formal hearing based on the non-compliance with the board order.
Okay. And I guess I would ask, what's the time frame that we need to have to know when these other charges are possibly being handled?
That's federal government.
Yeah, we won't need
Okay, we won't need those. Okay. So do we have a motion to move this to formal hearing?
So to make a determination, we have to go to the next level. We can't go ahead and, because of the fact that we're expired and the requirements were not complied with.
Member McClain, thank you for that question. It's a great question. However, when a licensee is noticed regarding a complaint or they're under an order and their license expires during that period, they automatically go on suspended status and we retain jurisdiction. So because this individual is on suspended status, we can't just do nothing, but we can move right to formal hearing. And the only issue for that formal hearing will be whether he complied with the order or not.
Okay, so... We have verification that he didn't comply, correct?
Yeah. So Andrew, can you confirm?
Yeah, he hasn't complied with anything.
All right, so I guess I'm confused as to why we can't, at this time, uphold the suspension or make a recommendation for a revocation to keep him from reapplying versus going to the hearing.
It has to go to formal hearing.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Okay, Mr. Monahan, can we offer a consent to surrender? And if that should not be accepted, that we would then automatically go to a formal hearing?
I think that's a great idea. You know, kill two birds with one stone, and that may make things easier for everybody.
Okay.
Excuse the saying. I apologize.
That's okay.
And then, okay. Seamus, sorry, Madam Chair. I just wanted to clarify for the record, too, since we do have the respondent here on the call. If the board, has the discretion to ask him at this time whether or not he completed any terms of the prior order or why he hasn't. They have that opportunity to do this at this time. Is that correct?
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so Mr. Kalmese, have you completed any of the terms of your previous visit with us? And if so, what have you done, what haven't you done, and what? Why haven't you done it?
Well, during Corona, I couldn't. I tried to look up the classes, and none were soon. So I kind of just kept going with life and I just doing electrical. I do electrical at the moment. That's where I am at the now. Yeah, I've just been, busy. I haven't been, doing the classes because of that.
Thank you.
No problem.
The order was made in 2019. Corona wasn't even around then.
Yes, I wanted to clarify for the board as well that the order took effect October of 2019.
Yes, Mr. Kalmese.
Just haven't got around to it.
I guess I need to ask if your license matters to you.
Yes, it does.
Mr. Monahan, I'm wondering if we can offer a consent agreement to reinstate these points of his previous situation with us, give him 6 months to do so, give him 6 months to comply with the orders and then come back before us?
Possibly. The problem is they weren't complied with by the deadline, and we can't roll back the deadline.
Okay.
So you could always offer a voluntary consent agreement, for probation, and then we could also just mirror the requirements of the decision and order in there as well.
And also, the federal government does their part, he's going to lose his license anyway. Nothing we can do about that.
Oh. Okay. So, would we like to offer a consent agreement for 1 year voluntary probation with a suspended license and complying with the updating the terms to comply with the previous order? And if he does not accept it, then it goes to formal hearing. And then that would give us time for him to complete those things and or get our report back from the federal government to see where everything stands.
You have that option.
Would other board members like to weigh in?
This is John Ortega. As has been stated previously, it doesn't matter what the federal government does. So I don't know why we need to wait around for anything like that. I think we should just make a motion to take this to a formal hearing.
Okay, is that your motion?
Okay, I move that we take case 21-161, Javal Kalamisi, to formal hearing.
And is that based on the non-compliance with the board order?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Is there a second?
Emily Clark, I'll second.
Okay. All in favor, it'll be a vocal. All in favor, aye.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If we can get some clarification on that motion before you proceed to a vote.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Seamus, do they need to indicate what they're seeking at formal hearing?
No.
Okay, so the motion itself is just to refer it to formal hearing?
That is correct.
For any okay, just wanted to double check. And then I have that was Mr. Ortega, who was the seconder?
No, Clark. It was my motion.
Right.
I'll second the motion.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, thank you. Okay, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
Okay. We have 3 ayes, 1 nay. The motion passes. So, Mr. Kalmis, you will be notified by board staff as to when your hearing will be. We will see you then. Thank you so much for being with us today.
No problem. You guys have a good day.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, point 8, discussion and possible action items for future massage board agendas. I think I would like to ask that perhaps we get additional information from our attorney and our attorney regarding the FSMTB information this morning, so that we can determine based on statutes and rules what can be done regarding the hybrid education. Does anybody else have anything else that they would like to possibly have up for an action item?
This is John Ortega. Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't we vote for Mr. Ramsey to attend a conference? And since he is no longer on the board, doesn't someone else have to go now? Or has that conference already happened?
No, it has not. And you're right. We did. He was going to be our delegate.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
You had nominated Mr. Ramsey, but you had also nominated the vice chair as the alternate, and she has moved into that position with the resignation of Mr. Ramsey. So no action is necessary.
No action is necessary. Okay, well, Ms. Clark, thank you so much for doing that and being our delegate. Very good. Thank you. Okay. Our next massage board meeting will be Monday, July 26, 2021 at 9 a.m. It will, at this time, be video conferenced. We may go back to in-person meetings at some point. If there is no further information or comments, the meeting is now adjourned. It is now 12:54 and 28.